Hey, we have a new sponsor for this week. This episode is sponsored by
Choo Choo Con. Yes,
Choo Choo Con. It's in Chattanooga. And
yes, I've heard of this con.
You've heard of this con? Yes, it is. It's an anime con. During the day, from what I understand, it's very quiet, and it's like a regular con.
That's when the kids are around.
But at night, everybody dresses up, like purple foxes and mermaids and minotaurs. And from what I understand, Nerdy Legion will be in there in their cosplay anime costumes. Yeah, that's going to be a choo-choo con in Chattanooga. It's actually in a train, from what I understand.
Yes. Now, the question is, Mike, do you want to be at the head of the train, or are you going to be in the caboose?
That's where the Nerdy Legion's going to be.
They're in the caboose.
Yeah, they have reserved the caboose.
Well, I look forward to knocking on their door and entering their caboose.
Yeah, it's going to be the Ferretti brothers and Nick. You can enter all their cabooses.
Just go right in their caboose.
Yes, right in their caboose.
Yes, thank you to the Choo Choo Con in Chattanooga.
Choo Choo Con.
You know what just happened? The party just got started, people.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Oh, Nick. Oh, man, why'd you send me down that pit?
So many rabbit holes, Nick.
Oh, so much. And of course, like, YouTube is just the worst.
The worst.
It's like, here's the official one. Nope, not the official one. Here's my homemade one. Nope, here's my handheld camera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was just, I couldn't even find Infinity War. Couldn't even find it.
So let me tell you about Infinity War. So people have asked me today, did you watch Infinity War? What do you think? It's going to be so awesome. Here's what I said, Nick. I can't give you an opinion.
Because
every trailer that I find is shit-ass quality, and I just cannot watch it.
I couldn't even tell which one was, like, I couldn't even tell. Like, I saw a hand, I saw the hand, like, somebody taking it from their iPhone, obviously watching it at like Hall H.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, refused to see it the first time that way. And then I saw one that looked like they cobbled together old footage with a different soundtrack.
Oh,
it was just like, it's horrible, dude.
Oh, no. Terrible.
So I was like, nope, on to Thor Ragnarok. Couldn't find Ready Player One. It was all bad. I looked for it a little bit, but then I moved on.
Dude, Ready Player One's been everywhere. It was trending on Twitter.
Well, that's good. Good for them. Bravo.
Hmm. All right.
Do you understand that at some point, after a half hour of frustration and me only seeing three trailers, sometimes you got to wad up the paper and throw it in the corner. Done.
All right. So tell me which trailers you got to see.
What was the first one?
Let me say this. Did you watch any trailers other than what I said, hey, I want to talk about these?
Well, you gave me three.
Yeah, so I gave you Ready Player One, which you couldn't find, and it was amazing.
I'm looking forward to it.
What else did I give you? I gave you The Gifted.
Yes, I watched that.
And the third one was Stranger Things.
Yes, and I watched one that you didn't give me.
Okay, which one did you watch that I didn't give you?
Of course, the one that I'm uber excited about you didn't give me, Thor Ragnarok.
Did I not mention that in my follow-up?
You might have, but you said watch these three.
I gotta see, because I sent you a follow-up message, and I know I said, oh, you know what? The problem is, I don't know if it was on Twitter or on Skype. Not Facebook, because I'm done with that. Facebook's done, dude. That's last year. You know what I mean? Facebook's over. I also recommended Thor Ragnarok. I recommended Justice League.
I did watch that, yeah.
And there might have been another, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I did watch.
Dude, there were so many trailers.
But I have to say, my Apple TV, when I go through the YouTube app on Apple TV, mm-hmm. that mother effer must have crashed out onto the basic screen, like off of YouTube. So YouTube crashed and it popped me back to the original Apple TV screen.
Oh, no.
Dude, that must have happened 15 times. So at some point, like I said, you grab the paper, roll it up, throw it into the corner. Like, I was so done.
Mm.
So... yeah, I didn't go down too many rabbit holes because it kept crashing on me.
All right, so out of the ones that I told you to watch,
yes,
what'd you think? I mean, out of the ones that I told you, really, you only watched two.
Yes.
Okay, so there was the two that you watched were The Gifted, yes. Not the Chris Evans movie.
I did watch that trailer as well. Thank you for sending me down the Gifted with Chris Evans route, which actually, I hate to say it, that looks pretty good.
Does it? I didn't even know it was a thing until you said it. And I was like, what?
That looks pretty good. It's from the director of, what was it, Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Really?
I think that's the director.
That sounds interesting.
I think that's the director. It's a girl in school who is obviously gifted.
Oh, wait, this has been out.
It could be.
I
don't know.
This came out April 7th of 2017.
Oh, okay. Well, then that came and went, and it never hit my suburb, because I might have went to go see that.
Huh.
Oh, well.
Reviews are okay. All right, that's fine. So you watched that. That's good. Good for you, Nick. I didn't watch that.
Thank God we were incommunicado, because I'm like, with Chris Evans? Like, little girl gifted? You're
and
like,
I said,
oh,
no,
Marvel.
With the hottie, Amy Acker.
And then I also asked, who's Amy Acker?
Oh, shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know. At first I thought it was that Ben Blacker, Chris Acker, whatever, those two guys that did Deadpool.
All right, now you're just making stuff up.
No.
Yeah, you are.
That's like a writing team.
No, you're making stuff up.
Come on, you're not playing with me. Seriously?
No, I'm serious.
No, there's a team that's like Chris Blacker, Ben Acker, something like that.
You're comparing Amy Acker to these guys.
If I knew who Amy Acker was, who was she? Out of all of the beautiful-looking 20-year-old actors in that thing. Because there was only two people that were over 30.
Amy Acker's the mom.
Oh, so she's one of the few over 30.
Yes, she's 40.
Interesting. Oh, wow, look at that. I don't even know who that is.
She was in Alias forever. She was in Dollhouse. She was in Angel and Buffy. She was in Person of Interest.
Barely scratched the surface of Angel.
Oh, my God. Dude, you've never seen Person of Interest?
No, come on.
Oh, my God. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto commands you to watch Person of Interest. Are you serious? That is an amazing show. It's Jonathan Nolan.
Okay, I would watch that, maybe.
It's so good. It's got the guy from Lost, the guy that was the leader of the creepy people on the island. And it's got Jim Caviezel.
Oh, yeah, and Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus.
A.K.A. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amy Acker's in it. She's freaking amazing. What's the black girl's name that's in... She's in that movie that just came out about the girls from NASA in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
To something. Oh, God. Tajari Henson. There you go. That's her name.
Okay.
She was in that. For a little while. God, dude, that show is so good.
Person of Interest,
Person
really?
Person of Interest. It's freaking amazing.
Amazing.
I'm dead serious. Like,
a show on CBS. Amazing.
That's what I said. So I avoided it until, I think, the second season or third season, maybe. And then it was on Netflix, and I watched it, and I was like, why have I not been watching this the whole time?
Is it still on Netflix?
It just finished this past year. Well, yeah, it's still on Netflix.
That's all I care about.
The show ended last year.
Because that's a show just from seeing what little trailers I've seen of that show, like seeping into my head when I was on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
This is when I used to have television. That's a show that I could probably get the wife into.
Oh, dude, yeah, for sure. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Okay.
So Jim Caviezel is an ex-spy.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy from Lost is a supercomputer genius. He creates this computer for the NSA that analyzes in real time data, like people data. So it watches CCTVs and all this other stuff. And it gives them people of interest. So it just spits out social security numbers. And those people can be like killers, or maybe they will be killed. And so it's up to, you know, the agency to determine who they need to go after. The guy from Lost, I can't remember his name ever, Michael Emerson. He has an in with a computer and uses it to find like discarded numbers, so that, like numbers that the NSA and stuff won't be interested in, and tries to save those people. And that's what the show's about. So they get like NYPD detectives involved. Amy Acker comes in later on as a person of interest, and it turns out that she becomes a very important character in the series for the last like three seasons.
All right, you don't have to ruin it for me.
Oh my god,
don't have to sell it anymore.
It's amazing.
I will check that out.
If you watch the first season, you're going to be like, "Oh, this is okay." But if you stick with it, when you start seeing all the threads like starting to connect in season two, you're like, holy fuck.
Okay.
All right, anyways, Amy Acker. Yeah, Amy Acker's in it. God, that was a long-winded way to say it.
Just to let you know, Ben Acker and Ben Blacker have written Marvel comics. I knew those names.
Have they?
Yes, they wrote Thunderbolts, and they've written a lot of like Deadpool comics.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I like Thunderbolts. I don't care for Deadpool.
Same here. Yeah, but yeah. Whenever I see their writing combo, I always think that they write Chuckle comics, so mm-hmm. I usually take a pass.
Yes.
But getting back to Gifted,
yes.
Not the Chris Evans.
Wait, it's The Gifted.
The Gifted.
The Gifted. That's my bad.
I like the two adults in it.
Mm-hmm.
Stryker and his wife, so I guess I do like Acker.
Mm-hmm.
All of the kids were very beautiful looking. I was really expecting to see it on the WB network.
The CW.
Or the CW, sorry.
CW.
Yes, where all the beautiful people lie.
Sure.
I love Thunderbird.
I know, that's why I told you to watch it.
Yeah, except where's his knife? That's all. I need to see that big honking knife.
So here's the thing. So I've seen trailers for The Gifted before, and there were nowhere to the level of detail as this Comic-Con trailer was. And so that's why I was really excited to see this trailer, because compared to the previous trailers, like the previous trailers, I was like, what the fuck does this have to do with the X-Men? You know what I mean? It's like when I know you watch Legion. So
no.
So,
never have.
So Legion, for mm-hmm. people that have read the comics, mm-hmm. those people are aware of the connections, right? But for people that don't know the comics, like, it doesn't matter, right?
Sure.
And that's kind of how the previous trailers for The Gifted were. I was like, well, like, that's cool, but it's Bryan Singer. So
yeah.
How is this connected to the X-Men? And finally, this trailer comes out. And it was funny, too, because I started watching this trailer. Didn't know it was out. Somehow I found it. I started watching it, and I saw Jamie Chung in the trailer. And she had the little purple, pinkish line down her eye. And, of course, I'm in our Facebook chat, our Nerdy Legion Army Facebook chat. And I'm like, has anyone seen the Gifted trailer? Like, I'm pretty sure this is Blink.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody has seen the trailer at that point. So I'm watching it, and then it gets to, like, the last little piece of the trailer, and it starts giving out, like, introducing Thunderbird. And I was like, holy shit, Thunderbird! I was like, mm-hmm. that's Nick's favorite! He's gonna mm-hmm. love this trailer! And then Polaris, we're gonna get to that in a second, and then Blink, and I was like, oh my god, I just shit my pants. And then introducing like the two kids and whatever.
Who don't have code names.
Who don't have
just
code
their name.
Who don't have
but
code
then
names.
Their last name got you very excited.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So Strikers are dead. That's awesome. But I will say, Nick.
Yes.
I have favorite X people. Of all time. Favorite X people of all time. All
right.
Okay. So I'm going to name those people. Number one should be very obvious by now for anyone that listens to this shenanigans. Emma Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, is number one. She is the best. Always will be. Number two. This is kind of close. It's close between two and three. I'm going to put two as Nightcrawler. I love Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler's the shit. Number three is Blink. Which
wow.
is in this trailer, yeah. And that's weird, right? Because so Blink was introduced in Age of Apocalypse.
See, I never even read Age of Apocalypse yet.
Oh, are you serious?
I haven't.
Oh my god, it's so
good. I just
haven't
read it.
You should go read it. Blink was the best thing that came out of Age of Apocalypse. And since then, like, she's kind of been in canon, in and out of canon.
Sure.
All right, Blink is number three. Number four for me, it's kind of tough, but I'd probably say Forge as number four.
Wow.
And then number five is Polaris.
Wow.
And then that's almost a tie. That's almost a tie, by the way. Like
five, so you must have been shitting your pants when
trailer. I was like, Blink! Yes! I've been waiting for this for like 20 years. And then Polaris, and I was like, oh my god, I'm done. This show's all me. Like, I'm watching this. Just give me this show right now. And Amy Acker's in it. You know what I mean? Like, just give me the show. I don't care if it's a hot piece of shit. Like, I'm gonna love this show.
You know why I love you, Martin?
Tell me.
Forge is in your top five.
You know, like, come on.
He's so underrated.
He is.
He's so fantastic.
See, you get it.
I love him and I love Bishop. And it's hard for me to find anyone that even knows those two or even finds them at all interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I love both of them. Just love them.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and Forge has been, like, pretty key, like, for a little bit in the X-Men. Because he's been
See,
he's
I love
part of the
that
team in
bad.
The comics.
He used to just be, like,
worst.
He'd be in three panels, and then he's out.
Yeah,
like,
he was
just,
the worst.
They didn't, as soon as him and Storm were done, yep. forget about it. Yep. He's gone.
So I'm going to tell you a story. So I have a history of this, Nick. Okay, I have a history of this. So for... We'll pull a line out of Paul's podcasting technique. So for a long time, I used to be a Cowboys fan, right? But then, like, everybody was freaking drug addicts. So I was like, you know what? I can't be behind a team that's just full of drug addicts. I'm not going to be a Cowboys fan anymore. And that year, the New York Jets, the worst team of all time, became my favorite. Because that year, their record in the NFL was 1-13. And so I said to myself, you know what? This is when they only played 13 games. You remember that? Like, back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Like, now, I don't know how many play now, like 18 or 20 games. Back in the day, there weren't that many games. So I was like, you know what? A 1-13 team? Like, nobody can say ever that I'm on a bandwagon. You know what I mean? Like, with the Cowboys or whoever else. Like, I think at the time, like, the 49ers were a bandwagon team. Because, you know, Steve Young was there and all those people.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what? Nobody can say that I'm a bandwagon rider. This team fucking blows. So I'm going to be fans of this team. And it was fine because, you know, I lived in New York at the time. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a New York Jets fan. So one day when they become the greatest team in the NFL, nobody can say, well, you're a fucking bandwagon rider. Because I can say I've been a fan since they were 1-13. And you know what? It's the same way that I look at comic book characters, except for Batman. but everybody else. Like, look at the top five X-Men characters that I just gave you, right? And, like, pretty close to number five with Polaris, I'll put Phantom X. And you know I love Phantom X. I love like the little like side characters, right? Where like they might be important for like an arc or two, maybe.
Yeah, a new writer comes on. They're in love with Polaris, and guess what? Polaris gets the spotlight for 5 issues.
Dude, let me tell you, if I ever were to become a comic book writer and they were like, hey, you're going to write the all-new, all-different, I don't fucking know, what would be a new title they haven't used? Incredible X-Men. Okay, we'll just do that. The all-new, all-different Incredible X-Men.
The unbearable X-Men.
The all-new, all-different, unbearable X-Men. Okay, Polaris would be on there. Okay, Nightcrawler would be on there. Fucking Blink would be on there. And since we're doing unbearable, I'll put Jubilee on there because she's unbearable.
She is.
But my top five
Except
would be on there.
she'd be out shopping half the issues.
Well, not really because she's got a kid now.
Well, still, so she's that's what she's known for. You
know, all right, so she's out shopping for baby clothes and diapers.
Yeah,
because that's unbearable. I mean, I know you don't have kids, but I've got kids. Shopping for kids is unbearable. So that's
and you know,
do.
Jubilee doesn't have Amazon Prime, so she ain't doing that.
Oh, she'd be screwed.
She's got to go to the mall.
God, that what a waste. Well, she's screwed then because like all the malls are closing down. You know what I mean?
True.
Amazon True. Prime for life. All right. Anyways. So this trailer had me really excited, dude. Like, I didn't even know Polaris and Thunderbird were in here. And, like, I'm not... My love for Thunderbird is not quite as high as yours. Okay? But I was reading X-Men at a time where Thunderbird was kind of a big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was fun.
He was fun. And I don't know what happened to the guy. But he's in the show, and that's all that matters. You know what
Very
I mean?
Very strange.
And Blink. And Amy.
Yeah, you must have been a pig in shite.
No, I literally shit my pants. Like, I had to check my pants. I did. I had to check them. So I'm pretty excited for the show. Now, with that said, you are not I. And I don't want you to, hold your feelings back. I want you to be honest with me, Nick. That's what I appreciate about the show, is you're honest with me. So tell me, Nick... The Gifted. How'd you feel about this trailer?
I have to pump my brakes a little bit.
I knew it, motherfucker. You're fired from this podcast.
I don't understand. Netflix is hitting home runs with all these Marvel franchises. One, I'm shocked that this is an FX film, FX series.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of surprised. Yep. Or I guess I'm sort of surprised that the FX version of Legion isn't on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just seems like those two should be interconnected. But anywho.
That's a good point. I'll get to that later. Continue.
But anywho, I just cannot believe that they're hitting home runs with all of these franchises. And I mean, to be honest with you, I'm sure plenty of people at Netflix are even like, when's the floor going to fall out of these? We're putting in so much money. When's the floor just going to fall? And I'm just surprised at looking at those robots, those like circular robots rolling after them. Good God, do those things look so cheesy.
They do. I'll give you that.
Holy Christ. It's just and for anyone to think that like these band, even of young, inexperienced mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't handle 8 cops outside of a building?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm.
Give me some Polaris action. Just come on.
I mean, Polaris was handling her shit, bro. What are you talking about?
She was, but I mean, it looked like the one guy who started to turn, like, white. I kept thinking, is he a bomb? Is he going to explode? Like, what the heck's going to happen here? Like, are we going to wipe out the town? Like, I just could not figure that out.
Hmm.
I like the parents. I thought that was neat. I like that who their parent, you know, who their father is. I think that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Will it freak every continuity person out there? Are they just going to be pooping themselves? Absolutely.
Well, that's not fair, though, Nick. I mean, like, I think by this point, anybody that reads comics... that is looking forward to a comic book TV show or movie should by now be very well aware that it's not going to be a direct translation. You know what I mean?
Yes, but you still get plenty of people that just want to soil themselves.
Well, those people are assholes.
I'm just saying. You know me. I could care less about continuity.
Oh yeah.
So I like the twist of that, and I can't wait to see where that goes. That's going to be a nice B storyline through the entire series. Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since I've actually wanted to watch a Netflix superhero series, so I'm a little excited about this one. Like everything, all the trailers for Luke Cage and Iron Fist, none of those did anything for me. And needless to say, the first, and I know Defenders has a new Comic-Con trailer.
Yep.
I didn't watch it, but that dumb teaser that they showed months ago, that didn't do anything for me. So I'm happy that I'm a little excited to watch The Gifted. It was nice that even with the cheesy special effects, it pumped my brakes just enough to be like, hey, this isn't going to be, you know, end all be all. Mm-hmm. Like you got to manage your expectations there.
Well, yes. And what I really liked is they pulled a page from Legion. Because even though, so maybe Legion a little bit more, because Legion has that Legion name in the title, whereas The Gifted does not. But when the Legion trailer started dropping, there was no X-Men connection whatsoever. You know what I mean? Like, if you knew about Legion, yeah, you kind of were like, okay, where's this going? Like, I know the name, but I don't know where this is going. Whereas with The Gifted, it's somewhat the opposite. Like, you look at the name. I mean, you found a completely different movie that had nothing to do with the show when you looked it up.
Hey, am I wrong? But is The Gifted... I'm looking at a poster, and I swear that the poster says Fox.
Is it coming on Fox? I don't know.
Well, I'm looking at a poster. It could be made up, but it's on IMDb, so I would assume it's an official poster.
I mean... seems legit to me.
So now I hate to say it, like I was complaining that why didn't Netflix throw some money at this? I can't blame Fox for not throwing money at it.
Well, Fox did the X-Men movies, right?
Yeah,
so that makes sense.
So they know, you know, it'll bring in X amount of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at what Legion did. It made X amount. And it's the same company, but obviously they have a little bit more faith in it. Or they would have bumped it over to FX.
So I'm wondering if, because it's the same company, this will be a little bit lighter, is my assumption, because it's on Fox. Whereas Legion, it had some very dark moments, you know? So it kind of maybe had to be on FX. But I wonder if, because it's the same company, and it's the same universe, you could maybe assume if there's going to be some crossover.
I thought the tone of this trailer, I thought it was pretty dark.
There were dark moments, but I don't think it was anywhere near as dark as Legion was.
But my point is, it was dark, but I think they were going after the Comic-Con fan.
Oh, sure.
And that works. Like, if they would have showed, like, a brother-sister trailer... people would have been like, what is this? Get out of here with this. What is this Dawson's Creek crap?
Well, it's funny, though, because when I watched the Comic-Con trailer the first time, I immediately thought of Heroes. Because
same here. Absolutely.
The premise is very similar to the original season of Heroes with the cheerleader and all that. And the girl that plays the older sister looks a little bit like the cheerleader.
For sure.
Stryker's character is a lot like that. Wasn't that guy's name Stryker too in Heroes?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But they definitely could be brothers.
Oh, they could be brothers. So a lot of it seemed very similar. But I think this will end up being more comic booky. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I know everybody, like, there's a stigma to that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
This will be a little more comic booky, but I think they're going to play it smart because Bryan Singer is attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would want it to be closer to the movies he's done, and it is Fox, and they already have a successful mutant property on their, you know, umbrella with Legion. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm pretty excited for this, by the way. I'm so excited for this. Dude, and Jamie Chung was in the real world. Like, I would never... Oh, man. Jamie Chung is going to be a fucking badass Blink. That's all I'm going to say. She was a terrible Valerie Vale, but she's going to be a good Blink.
You know what? There was one scene in that trailer. It might have been in the teaser before that trailer, because I watched two of them. But the one scene that piqued my interest was the person that was like stuck in between two like pieces of large plastic.
Hmm. Wrapped in plastic, you mean?
No, it looked like she or he was running, and they just took like two pieces of plastic and like captured them that way.
Huh. I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'll have to look at that again.
Yeah, it's like a full person, but they look like they're in motion, but they're like trapped in plastic.
Hmm.
It was really neat. Like, it was a really cool visual.
Interesting.
I'm sure it's just like a doctor or a psychiatrist showing somebody around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just like off on one side and the camera pans by it.
Yeah.
To show all these oddities.
Hmm.
But Bryan Singer, I think he's directing the first episode, and he's executive producer, so that's exciting.
Yeah. I'm down. All right, let's talk about Stranger Things 2. So I watched this with my wife.
Yes.
She's like, you watched this with me, right, the first season? She's like, yeah, I watched the first few episodes, and I couldn't kind of really get into it, so I quit it. I said, I thought so. So we watched the trailer together, and we were done, and she says, why is it called Stranger Things 2? Isn't it a TV show? And I was like, yeah, who cares? I don't know. I guess it's just the American thing, right? Because, like, if we're watching in like on BBC, right? Like, Doctor Who Series 10. Like, that'd be... Nobody would question that. You know what I mean? Whereas in the US, everyone's like, well, it's the same fucking show, just a new year. Like, why is it called that? I gotta say, so the trailer did not like blow me away.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but the reason I asked you to watch it was because I thought it was really interesting. And Nick, I know you're a little bit older than me, but you know, I grew up in the 80s, and there's like it's like a plethora. It's like somebody vomited the 80s in this trailer. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like there's like 500 Ghostbusters references, like all the Atari stuff, like the arcades, like all that stuff.
Dragon's Lair.
Oh yeah, how could I forget that? Like that's how the trailer starts, Dragon's Lair. And I remember all that stuff.
And Michael Jackson's Thriller. Come on.
That's what got my wife. She's like, as soon as the trailer started, like she heard like a little beat. She's like, wait a second, is that Thriller? And I was like, no, it can't be. And then like as the trailer went on, it starts building up into Thriller. And you hear the narrator from the song in the background.
Vincent
like,
Price.
Motherfucker, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. This series,
sure, it had tons of accolades, won tons of awards, you know, huge critical acclaim. This series is not going to have good special effects because they had to pay a boatload of money to Michael Jackson's estate to get
that
song. Holy cats.
I don't know. I mean, judging from the trailer, it looks like there's going to be a good CG budget.
Except at the very end. Fog chasing people with the camera right in front of the fog never looks good.
Well, yes.
But that was the only part that didn't look good.
I think
everything else was top-notch.
To be honest, I think that's to kind of throw you off. Because after the trailer ends and you're getting like the credits for the trailer, mm-hmm. It's got like the same fog with like a giant Cthulhu monster behind the fog.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like red and pink lightning. So, who knows? But, dude, like the first season, there wasn't like that big a CG budget either. You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
Like I know the series has won awards and stuff since then, but there was not a big budget, effects budget. So,
I like that 11 is coming back. That'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting.
Yeah, it's everything. Everything that I've seen, even the poster and the teaser before it, I think after this trailer, I'm going to pull the Martin Ferretti blackout edict.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to know anything else. Don't show me one other bit. But I will say, I am going to try to get my wife hooked into season one before season two comes out.
I hope it works out better for you than it did for me.
Yeah.
Because I tried. But, you know, the thing is, like, my wife is not at all into the nerdy stuff. You know what I mean?
Same with mine.
Yeah.
But I think it's cute enough, and after watching the first season, there's not a lot of blood and violence. So I think I possibly can get her, even though season two looks a hell of a lot darker.
So here's my hope. My hope is, as you know, Nick, my wife is a huge Stephen King fan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the new It movie coming out.
Yes.
Which there's been a few trailers. They look fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. The It trailers, they look a whole lot like if I was watching a Stranger Things movie. So I'm hoping when that movie comes out and she watches it, I can be like, hey, this looks just like Stranger Things. And she'll be like, yeah, it kind of does. Maybe I should watch that. And they'll be like, yes, maybe you should. So that's my hope. That's my hope. But we'll see. We'll see. I know she was very excited because they started shooting. I can't remember the name of the show, but there's a new Stephen King show coming out. Where it's going to be, it's like an anthology series, kind of like American Horror Story.
Oh,
but
okay.
Based on like the town where all his books are based on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that just started filming, so she's pretty stoked about that.
I thought you were going to say Skeleton Crew, because that was his stories.
Nope. No, this it's an anthology series based on his universe, so.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
But, Stranger Things looks good, man. And I know you didn't watch, so you didn't watch Ready Player One.
No, I didn't.
That's disappointing.
But Steven Spielberg directed it, right?
Spielberg directed it. I will say this. I'm pretty sure I've talked about Ready Player One on this podcast before. If not,
I have.
Okay, good. I'm glad to keep track. Is that in our Google Docs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Just making sure. About it umpteen times.
Yeah. So. I just wanted to make sure, because sometimes I don't put things in the docs. You know what I mean?
I know.
But Ready Player One is one of my favorite books of all time. I love the shit out of it. I've read it. Well, I mean, quote unquote, read it. I have it on Audible, and I've listened to it at least like 4 or 5 times. And I love it. It's like if you watch Stranger Things and you're of that age, so I would say like mid 30s to early 40s, like it should be right up your alley, because there's so much like 80s nostalgia that gets thrown at you. Aside from that, there's a lot of modern stuff, right? So there's a lot of like VR, like the future of VR happens in Ready Player One, plus some other things. Now, I don't want to spoil it, but so the trailer came out, and I've watched this trailer like probably 6 times, Nick. I'm not going to lie to you, and I quit at 6 because when I got to 6, I was watching it and paying attention. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I'm not going to like seeing this anymore. So I quit watching the trailer. And the reason I say that is, I love the book so much. My concern now is, when I see the movie, it's not going to quite be... the world's not going to be the way I pictured it in my head the half a dozen times that I've read the book.
Mm-hmm.
So now that has me concerned. But it took me 6 times of watching the trailer to be like, hey, fuck, like, maybe I'm going to hate this movie. But the first 6 times I watched the trailer, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to jizz on my screen just watching this trailer.
Oh my.
It was like that. So we'll see.
You know what you sound like when you're recounting the book compared to the movie?
Do tell.
Everyone, how scared they were for the Martian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who read the book, and they're like, "There's no way they can do it. There's no way."
But the book was great.
Sure, yeah. It's just a different thing. It's just like do androids dream? You know?
Oh,
like,
but that's different though.
It isn't different, not at all.
No,
For the people that read Philip K. Dick and stuff like that, they don't know what they're. Well, in their imagination, they know what to expect.
So
did Blade Runner live up to that? I don't know.
I will say this: I love "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep."
Mm-hmm.
I've read it at least a dozen times. I love Blade Runner. I've seen it at least a dozen times, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
But I love them both differently because they're both very different. And I would never say like, oh, well, the book's better or the movie's better. I think they're both fantastic in their own respects.
Ready Player One could be that way as well. It's just you picture the panels and the action differently, but then you see what Robert Rodriguez did with Sin City, and it's like, dang, that is pretty damn close, or even if it isn't close, it had its heart in the right place that it's like even the mistakes you can forgive.
So you're absolutely right. I think the difference is a lot of those Philip K. Dick books, as much as I love them, they're not like on the top of my list. You know what I mean? Whereas Ready Player One is like for sure, without a doubt, my top 10, if not higher. And I think that's what the difference is. So I'll give you another example. I just finished reading The End of Eternity. Okay. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or read it. There was a movie based on it with Matt Damon. It is called The Adjustment Bureau. The movie has zero to do with the book. Absolutely zero. And I had never read the book until very recently. And I was reading it and I was like, wait, I remember this movie. Like once it started going, I was like, okay, like this concept sounds familiar. And I look it up and I'm like, oh yeah, like that movie. I remember that movie. And so I'm continue reading the book and I'm like, wait, this is nothing like that movie that I saw. As a matter of fact, like there's absolutely zero to do between the book and the movie that's based on the book. But they were both good. They weren't great, but they were good. And actually, I think in some respects, I may have enjoyed the movie a little bit more than the book.
But wouldn't you say, like, that's an Asimov book? Wouldn't you say that or, like, a Kurt Vonnegut book, Philip K. Dick? At some point, you can't have faithless or faithful creations from media unless they're trying to do like a faithful adaptation, page-by-page adaptation, which would be sort of crazy unless you're going to do it on Hulu or Netflix. Like, so, it'd have to be multi-part.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at some point, like the Asimov, like your book, at some point, you have to look at the book and then hand it to a writer and be like, look, here's the five tenets of this book. Have these in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you look at, like, Minority Report. Guess what? The Tom Cruise movie is not even close to what the source material was.
It is not.
But you also, like, you know it's a producer or the screenwriter that was like, but we did hit these 5 points. And guess what? The fans of the book, they're going to appreciate that we put X, Y, and Z into it as well.
Sure. Well, and that's why I have I'm less concerned about the Ready Player One movie. Because Ernest Cline, who wrote the novel, is one of the co-writers for the screenplay. You know what I mean? So when you have the original writer of the novel co-writing a screenplay, it kind of gives you a sense where, like, even if it's not completely faithful to the source material, it's fine, right? And you can accept that. So my wife and I just watched The Girl with All the Gifts. I don't know if you've seen that. So I watched it last year. I read the book last year. My wife finally decided to read the book. She just finished it a couple weeks ago. And so after she finished it, we watched the film, which I had already seen. And she tried to watch it with me last year when I saw it. And she got like halfway through and was kind of done with it. But after she finished reading the novel and watched the movie with me, while she did not like the second half of the film as much as the first half, she still appreciated the second half a little bit more. And the interesting thing about that movie is the guy that wrote the book wrote the fucking, he by himself wrote the screenplay. Like, he wasn't even a co-writer. Like, he wrote the book and then he was hired to write the screenplay. So it's the exact same creator, but kind of a slightly different vision of the same source material, which is also interesting.
Can I ask you, is, holy Christ, because the person that wrote the book or wrote the screenplay for that film, I just looked him up. He's the comic book writer.
Yes,
Mike Carey.
He is.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to put this on my radar.
Yeah, you should.
And I don't even like horror. I don't even like horror.
Matter of fact, since you brought that up, I want to bring this up because I brought it up on our Nerd Legion chat on Facebook. There's a new movie out, the Charlize Theron movie, Atomic Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the trailers. I know you have.
Yes.
Or at least like an ad for a trailer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you know that was a comic?
Was that like an 80s comic?
No, it wasn't. Let me rephrase. It wasn't a comic. It was a graphic novel. He wrote it as a graphic novel. It came out in 2012. The writer's name is Anthony Johnston, who took over Queen and Country when Rucka stepped away. Like, Rucka asked him to take over the book when he didn't have time to do it.
Crazy.
So he wrote that, and he's like, it's super fun to do spy books. I want to do my own spy book. And so he wrote The Coldest City, which came out from Oni Press in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Atomic Blonde is based on, The Coldest City.
Huh.
And he co-wrote the screenplay for the movie.
I saw the trailer when we went to go see Baby Driver.
Yeah.
And even my father, who has no clue what that movie's even about, even he was like, that looks interesting. We should go see that. Mm-hmm. Like, not knowing anything other than that looked like some cool, like, spy stuff.
Well, so my wife was talking to me about it a couple of weeks ago because she saw an interview with Charlize Theron about the training that she went through for that movie. And I was like, oh, so I was listening to her story, and so I went and I checked this out, and it's pretty interesting. And then, like, I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago, my podcast app updated, and one of the podcasts that I listened to had Anthony Johnston on, talking about Atomic Blonde. And so I recognized the name, right? I recognized the name, and I was like, what the fuck? Why is he talking about Atomic Blonde? I go on there, I start listening. He starts talking about exactly what I just told you. Like, he took over Rucka for Queen and Country. He was writing The Coldest City. And I was like, wait, this is a comic book? Like, how did I not know this? And so I looked the guy up. Like, he's been writing The Fuse for Image. I don't know if you read that. But I love that book. Like, The Fuse is really interesting. And he's done so many things. I was like, I didn't even know this guy, like, was writing comics. You know what I mean? And, like, for long time, like, 20-plus years, he's been writing comics.
That's so wild.
And yet, like, the first time that I put his name to a book that I've read is on this podcast interview talking about this movie I had no idea was based on a comic. So weird.
And all of a sudden you're like, wait, I've been reading his stuff for decades.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I fucking know this guy. Like, I have no idea who he is, but I know this guy. It's so weird.
That's so funny.
Right?
Yeah, that's great, though.
And I think that happens with a lot of people, though. You know, because, like, there's like, a select group of writers that, like, you know, whenever they come up, you automatically know. Right? So, like, when Rucka does something, or Morrison does something, or Warren Ellis, Garth Ennis, or Neil Gaiman, or, like, those kind of people, right? Like,
yeah, you have a radar up.
Yeah, you automatically know. I don't even know what's the difference.
Can I give you another? Can I circle back to a previous Nerdy Legion episode that we've actually discussed?
Well,
his book, one of his books.
Of course.
Did you know that he was the writer for the Dead Space comic book that Ben Templesmith drew?
Yes, I do, because when I was looking this guy up, I was like, motherfucker, we talked about this Dead Space book.
So both of us have read much of his stuff. Never put it together.
I have no idea about this.
Oh, it's so good.
It's crazy.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to be seeing that, dude.
Yeah, it looks super fun, right?
Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. I want to see it. I think my wife wanted to see it. I think Reagan kind of said something about it. Zoe, of course not.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised, by the way. We finally saw Wonder Woman.
Nice.
And I really enjoyed it.
Hope so.
My wife liked it. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was surprised that the girls didn't like it as much as I thought they were going to like it.
Do you think it was just slow paced?
It was very slow paced.
Because I mean, if I'm going to detract from the film, especially for younger viewers, it's a little slow, and the comedy feels like it's comedy written decades ago.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Like,
oh, and I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
For your kids, I could see them just rolling their eyes at some of the, like, deliveries.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, Reagan was like, meh. But Zoe enjoyed some of the early stuff in, like, the Mascara.
Then,
like, the story started to get going, she kind of wanted to leave. No! You can't do that.
What happened when the Wonder Woman theme from Batman versus Superman came on screen? Did you actually stand up and applaud?
I wanted to.
Because, dude, that was like 1 hour plus. By the time you got that that soundtrack, it's like, damn, you kept that on the line. But it was such a good payoff when it did happen.
That was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect movie, so I'll say that. The stuff at the end, I didn't enjoy as much as some of the rest of the movie.
Completely agree.
But it was fun, you know what I mean? It was fun.
It was a great ride.
Yeah, it was fun.
And guess what? It did what DC movies should do. It was a little lighter.
It was a lot lighter.
Yeah.
But there was some good action in there.
For sure.
But to your point, I think it could have done a little bit better. And I think as a Wonder Woman film, should have done a lot better at entertaining a younger audience. And I know I'm going to get, like, hate email about old motherfuckers that are like, no, I've been reading Wonder Woman since 1967. Like, blah, blah, blah. Listen, fuck you, I don't care. Like, this is how you establish a DC universe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really, I think, should have catered a lot more to a younger female audience.
Yep.
Just to give them that extra oomph, you know what I mean? Like, God, this came up in our chat, and I got a little upset, and Jack messaged me privately. But the conversation came up about, like, DC ripping off MCU movies.
Come on.
And it kind of pissed me off, because, like, when this conversation started coming up, I was watching Civil War, which I've seen already, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. And we were all, like, my whole family was watching it, you know what I mean? And people were getting, like, super serious about it in the chat. And I'm like, listen, like, is it that fucking serious? Like, it's a movie based on a fucking comic. Like, why is this happening right now?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so my reply was kind of like, somebody said something about, if it wasn't for the MCU, there'd be no DC Cinematic Universe movies. And, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, are we really thinking about this the way we should be thinking about this? Like, we can't be assholes like every other fucking troll on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, everyone in this chat has a podcast of some sort. You know what I mean? Like,
is this the one that I'm in?
Yes.
I think I've been missing this part. And whenever I'm jumping, I got to say, for the last, like, week, whenever I jump into the chat, I don't know if you noticed my behavior has sort of changed. I pretty much say a few things and then I'm out real quick because it's gotten very troll like. So, I don't want to get into those type of conversations.
So I don't want to say it's gotten troll like. There's some trolly behavior at some points, which I feel like is to be expected at any conversation. But I know what you mean, because due to my schedule, I've been in there a little bit less. Well, actually, a lot less than I have been. I've just been fortunate/unfortunate to pop in maybe at the right/wrong times. Mm. So, like, when I popped in today, this was the conversation, right? Like, DC Cinematic Universe versus Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so, like, I had just finished watching Civil War. I'm getting ready to go see Wonder Woman, right? So, like, I'm coming from a place of comics where there's already a rift, like a very serious rift in the characters themselves, right? Because that's what the movie's about. You know, like, Baron Zemo purposely sets this whole chain of events up to break the Avengers up, so that there's no more Avengers. Mm-hmm. So I'm done with this. As I get into our chat, which is all friends, but at the moment that I enter it, it's like friends split at a certain point, Marvel versus DC. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not quite what happens in the Avengers, but, like, there's some similarities there.
But
like, the argument is, If it wasn't for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there would be no DC Cinematic Universe, right? So no Batman Superman, no Wonder Woman, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, are we really having this fucking conversation? Like, there's no way we're having this conversation.
Like, oh, there's
a
way.
I'm pretty sure that we are better than this conversation. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way. There's no way.
There is a way.
Right? Because, like, I know for a fact that some of us really love DC. Right?
For sure.
I know for a fact that some of us really love Marvel. But ultimately, like, we're all friends. And why is this argument happening in this fucking chat? You know? Like, and there's some people that, like, will comment just to troll, right? So, like, Paul doesn't give a shit about the conversation. Right?
No.
But he will urge one side or the other, right? Now I'll give it to Paul. He was not involved in this conversation.
He did. But he is a master fisherman. Let's put it that way.
He is a master fisherman.
He puts the troll line right into the water, no matter what. He'll play both sides.
You're right. And he did put his 2 cents in hours later. And I will say this. I'm not going to name a name. But one of the people involved in this chat privately messaged me, and he and I discussed this separately from the group because he felt like, well, like, am I pissed at him for what he said, right? And I wasn't. I wasn't at all, because I know that everybody in this chat, we're all friends.
Don't worry, Ronnie. You're still Martin's favorite.
It wasn't Ronnie.
I know. I'm teasing.
Ronnie's been too busy eating barbecue to read comments. But
the pork steak?
Yeah, the pork steak with the mustard sauce.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't Ronnie. But so it was somebody else, and, like, this person messaged me and wanted to make sure that, like, I didn't think that this person was trolling, because that was part of my comment, right? Like, listen, we can't be saying these kind of things. And, like, this is a private conversation, right? Like, it's not going to come up in a podcast or something, so I shouldn't give a shit. But the point is, I do give a shit. You know what I mean? because there's so many fucking people on the internet and other podcasts trolling a particular fucking part of the argument that I don't want us to do that, right? Because I want us on the Nerdy Legion Network to have honest fucking opinions, and whether you like one thing better than the other, it shouldn't fucking matter, right? What your opinion should always be true, right? So if you think one thing is true, that's totally fine. But what you're not going to do is tell me the other side is fucking wrong because of blah, blah, blah. If you have a reason to tell me the other side is wrong, then you will better have a good fucking reason to tell me why the other side is wrong. Because that's not how this fucking shit works. You know what I mean? Like, we all love everything. Okay? You might like one thing better than the other, but you shouldn't not like the other thing. Okay? And if you truly, genuinely don't like the other thing, you should better have a fucking game good reason why you don't like the other thing. Okay? So, I'm gonna very briefly bring this up. Okay?
Is this briefly?
This is briefly.
Oh.
Everyone knows. Listen how briefly this is gonna be. Everyone knows. I have an
Minute
issue.
20.
Everyone knows I have an issue with Tom King's Batman. Okay?
Uh-oh.
How many times have I brought this up on a podcast in the last several months? Like, I might say, hey, yes, I have an issue with this run of Batman.
140 times.
At least. But am I still having the hour-long fucking discussions about this? No. And I don't want to have the hour-long fucking discussions. Okay? Because every time it comes up in conversation, somebody every fucking time sends me a message. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Listen, I'm fucking done with it. I don't want to talk to you about it. Okay? You want to tell me something that happened in fucking Batman 26 or 27? That's cool. I will talk about it with you whenever the fuck I read it. Right now, I'm buying it because I've been buying Batman for 25 years. I own, I don't know, 50 plus years of Batman comics. Okay? I'm still going to be fucking buying the book. I will talk about it with you eventually. I'm not talking about it with you right now because I don't want to be in that conversation.
You're taking a break.
I'm taking it. Well, I'm buying it, but yes, I'm taking a reading break. Okay?
You're taking a break.
So I'm only like one or two issues behind on Batman. It's fine. Listen, you want to send me a message about Batman? By all means, go ahead. I might not reply to you for months. Okay? There are certain people that will send me a message about Batman. I will reply to you immediately because I love you more than I love other people. But I'm not going to have a fucking argument with you about it. You know what I
mean?
I
was wondering why you didn't respond.
Like, if you're going to message me to fucking troll me about something that happened in Batman, cool. You'll get a... Awesome, good job. Thanks for the tweet, or thanks for the messenger thing, or the text, or the phone call, or whatever the fuck. But I'm not going to have this fucking argument with you. Okay?
I get that from you all the time.
I just want to enjoy my fucking comic books. You know what I mean? That's all I want to do.
We're here to love.
You want to argue with me about Batman? That's cool. Like, just fucking message me in 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, I'm done with that shit. I'm not having that argument anymore.
But you have to. You're on a podcast.
No, I'm not. I don't. No, I don't.
No, you will.
I'm not going to.
No, you will.
Do explain.
No, I don't care. I'm just being difficult.
See, exactly. I don't care.
I don't care.
Listen,
I don't do
any podcast for any fucking body. You know what I mean? Like, I do every podcast that I do for myself. Right?
Martin,
so I do this podcast.
You know what I do? I try to talk you off the ledge.
You do.
A lot of this shit don't matter.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's why when you told me like people were losing their minds and I read Tom King's first volume of the trade, and you're like, well, what do you think? And I know when I said, oh, I didn't mind Gotham Girl and I didn't mind, you know, his two new characters. Mm-hmm. I know people lost their crap. But at this point, like, I'm not going to engage. I could care less what your opinion is on that. Well, I'm so telling you why I like it.
But you see the difference though, right? So I can ask you and say, hey, what did you think of this? And your exact opinion will be, well, I read it. I like this. I didn't like this because of this. Whereas these motherfuckers are just fucking sending me messages just to get me fucking pissed off about the goddamn book that I love for fucking ever and I don't want to fucking talk about. You know what I mean? That's the difference.
Sounds like you do care.
Well, I care that people are sending me messages to piss me the fuck off.
But those people are trolling you.
Yes.
They want to get a dumb rise out of you. That's why I can't stand... going back to your original point, the Marvel versus DC or Image versus Dark Horse, Image versus whatever...
Who gives a shit?
The end of the conversation for me, and usually when I tune out, is people yammering on about whatever issue you want to talk about. Whatever issue it is. I don't even want to pinpoint one. I'm pretty sure you could read my mind and figure out which one I'm currently thinking of. But... The discussion ends as soon as that person is like, but I don't read DC comic books.
Right.
Yes. And it's like, well, then you can't have that opinion.
Well, yeah, why are we talking about this?
If your only basis of DC comic books is from the 90s before you dropped them, like, I don't want to have this conversation then. I just don't.
Well, and that's true for a lot of things, right? So...
Hey, you put out a controversial cover, and people want to like just throw up their arms and like go against. Ooh, this is horrible! And it's like, but you haven't read the comic book.
You haven't read the book.
And God forbid, do you even read what the writer does or what the artist does?
Do you even know who this person is?
Yes. Yes.
I'm with you.
So
that's why I love this podcast, I hear you. Nick. You and I, you see this, you and I, whatever, how many miles apart are we? 700, 800, 1,000 miles?
Too many.
It doesn't matter.
Too many.
As I look into my computer screen, you're looking into my eyes, Nick, and you read my mind, you know what I mean? Like, why do people do this? What is the point?
Because they want to push your buttons, buddy.
But what is the point?
There is no point. There isn't.
There is no point. That's exactly right.
And I hate
right.
to say it, people like private messaging you. It's like, dude, if you're private messaging me because you think you offended me and you want to smooth things over.
That's one like, thing.
But still, like, I mean, I get it. Like, at least you're self-aware that, like, you might have pissed me off. But still, at some point, it's like, dude, all you were doing was throwing out stuff just to, like, piss off other people. Like... This wasn't a discussion. This was just like, I don't know. This was like peacocking.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. So when people resort to the kind of comments privately that to me seem like trolling, and granted, they might not be trolling to those people. Now, whether I believe that or not is a different story. But to those people, it might not seem like a troll comment. And I will say this. Being on multiple podcasts, there does come a time, right, where I do get messages from people that feel like they know me, right? And Paul and I have had this conversation because Paul used to get these kind of comments all the time because on Valiant Central, I always play good cop and Paul always plays asshole cop, right?
Yeah.
And so he gets comments where like, oh, I can't believe blah, 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 where like I don't get those comments, right? But the thing is, like, you know, you got to know when, like, this is kind of a fucking joke and when this is the real fucking deal. You know what I mean? And so, like, it doesn't make sense for us to not be genuine on this podcast if I'm going to get some bullshit-ass comments to try to piss me off. You know what I mean? And, like, these people might not even see it as me getting pissed off. Right? They might be like, hey, blah, 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 because they feel like, well, I also don't like Tom King's Batman. And can you justify my opinion? And let me tell you this, I'm not going to justify your fucking opinion. Okay? It's your opinion to be had. If you don't like it, that's up to you, bro. Sister, whatever, transgender person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my opinion. And if you agree with me, then I appreciate it. Thank you for your support. Go give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. You know what I mean? But if that's your personal opinion, you shouldn't feel like you need to have somebody support your opinion. Be a fucking grown-ass adult. You know what I mean? Have your own fucking opinion, bro. That's all I'm saying.
I hate to say it. Like, we can back away on social media. We can back away from as much or as little engagement as we want with anyone out there. The only time we won't disengage is if people write to hello@nerdylegion. And ask us a question. And then, of course, we will answer that. But guess what? You're giving us enough time to think about it or do research or whatever the hell we want to do.
So that is still working. hello@nerdylegion. There's a new one. It's nerdylegion@gmail.com.
Both work.
Either way, I totally agree with you. Email, I think, always works out better for that. But look, here's the thing, right? Like, I totally understand it. And for anyone listening, like, I don't want you to think that I'm attacking you, right? Like, I love that you listen. Nick loves that you listen.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, right? Like, this is going to sound super bad now that I think about it.
Oh.
So when this whole thing started, right? So this all started with Paul and I, right? Doing Valiant Central. And then, of course, we had Josh Eves get involved, who was doing Valiant Effort at the time. We're doing
best podcast on Nerdy Legion.
Agreed. It's no longer available, by the way.
No, it isn't.
Because he's no longer hosting the episodes.
It's into a black hole.
It's in the black hole. We were doing Avar's Lone Box. That's no longer available because I took it down. But anyways, like this whole thing built out of, you know, pretty much us three, right? And then, I mean, like, you were a listener and a fan, and now we're doing this podcast, which has become my favorite podcast to do. Because I feel on this podcast, like, I can be the most honest out of any other show that I have done. And the reason for that is, like, that's kind of how we structured this podcast, right? Like, when we first started, it wasn't like that at all, right? Like, it seems like when we first started, it was quite a bit more structured.
Sure.
And over time, as people departed the podcast and it became you and just I, it just kind of became like the Nick and Martin sit in toilets next to each other, like, right? Like, We're in toilet stalls opposite each other.
Or if you could picture on a comfy couch.
Okay, like a comfy couch kind of works. I guess that works. We'll keep the couch.
But you know what I mean? Don't like that you said F the couch.
No. I love the couch. Even though the past two episodes I've said F your couch.
Yes.
I love this couch.
How dare you?
This podcast is like my psychiatrist's couch. You know what I mean? because, like, even though you and I might not always agree, Nick.
No.
But I feel like you and I are perfectly happy to agree to disagree.
I like that you call me out on my shit, and we get to discuss that.
Well, and you called me out on my shit, and you know what I mean? Like, and we don't hate on each other's shit, right? Like, if we disagree on something, it's totally cool, right? And that makes it such an inviting environment for me to come and hang out after a long week, because a lot of times we do this Sunday nights, and, you know, my weeks are always tough. Lately, yes, they've been especially tough. I know for you lately, they've been also very tough. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, right? But it's nice to have, like, a safe place. This is our safe place, Nick. And I'm glad that people find talking to me a safe place. But there's a time and a place for that, right?
Yeah.
So do me a favor. If you feel like you want a safe place, I would much prefer it's emailed to me. I'm kind of done with Facebook. I haven't been on Facebook all week.
You have been.
Have I?
I saw Heather's picture.
Oh.
Of your daughter, and you're in the background.
so my wife ruined
such an S face.
my wife ruined my no Facebook thing for me.
Oh, it was so good.
I haven't been on Facebook all week, and she's like, "Oh, I just tagged you in this picture," and I'm like, "Where?" She's like, "On Facebook." I'm like, "Ugh, I haven't been on Facebook all week. Do I have to?" So of course it's my wife, so I had to.
Of course.
And of course I had to like it and comment on it.
Yep.
While I was there, I also commented on something that Ronnie had tagged me in. Because our friend Joe Pruitt, who runs Aftershock Comics, he posted a hotel picture of of a seagull on his window, and Ronnie had to make a comment about salsa dancing. And, you know, that's been a joke since C2E2. Mm-hmm, so, of course, I had to comment on it, and Joe and I went back and forth a little bit. Thank you, Heather Ferretti, for ruining my 1 week no Facebook streak. here's the deal. Like, some people actually commented on this privately to me on Twitter. A couple people sent me Facebook messages. Listen, if you send me a Facebook message, I'm probably not going to reply. Like, unless I've met you and we're personal friends, I'm not going to reply. So the best thing is email or Twitter, like private message on Twitter. I'm not checking Facebook. Let me make that clear. I thought I made this clear last episode. Apparently, I did not. I'm not checking Facebook. Facebook is dead to me.
Give the email address one last time.
You can do nerdlegion@gmail.com or hello@nerdlegion.com. Either one will work. I prefer the Gmail because I've got the Gmail app on my phone. It's easy to switch. But that's up to you. But email is going to be the best way. Unless we're personal friends. If we're not personal friends, it might take me a couple days to reply to you. If we're personal friends, I'll reply to you almost immediately. That's just the
way. But if you're not personal friends, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you and we don't love you.
It doesn't mean that, but...
Just take a little bit of time.
My time is slim, and because of the types of messages that I've received lately, I don't want to get into these types of conversations with strangers, but I'll be more than happy to talk about it with you on email at my own time and at my own pace.
I always welcome questions. I just want to be fair to everybody. I don't care how personal it can get.
Yeah,
or whatever anyone wants to know. Answering show questions and making it part of the show is a heck of a lot different than you only having 20 minutes out of a work day to actually get any type of response in. And now all of a sudden people want to like hit you up with your opinions. Like, guess what? You only have 20 minutes that entire day. You're not going to go back and forth with anyone.
Oh,
good
sure.
Friend, non-friend. But we'll take 20 minutes out.
I want people to understand that. I will take as much time as I humanly can to talk to everybody. But at the same time, my family comes first, my friends come second, so you will be third. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. But that's why I'm trying to direct people to make it part of the show, because we're here anyway doing a show. And if all of a sudden we have a mailbag of 15 questions, guess what? That's an episode.
Email's the best way. Do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got a question because this has come up. So I know you read a lot of digital comics, Nick.
Yes, sir.
I do read some digital.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing majority floppies. Or trades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because you are mostly a digital and also trade reader.
Yep. I just got 10 trades from the library Friday.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So what's your upper limit? Okay, if you had an upper limit on single issues, and there's a reason I'm asking this.
Sure, go ahead.
I will get to that in a second. But if there were an upper limit on price you would pay for a single issue.
Oh, Jiminy. Okay.
What would that be?
For a new
brand book? Brand new.
Not a deluxe format, not extra pages, not an annual, just a regular a monthly or bi-monthly book.
Just a regular monthly book. I mean, if you want to throw like an annual in there or something, that's fine. Or like a whatever, a special 25th anniversary or whatever, 25th issue or something. Here, Marvel's doing the renumbering. Issue 150. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's your upper limit on these?
Well, for those anniversary issues, those are always going to be more expensive.
But they're also like double size or triple size, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're willing to spend some more.
I would, yes. Okay. I would think you would be.
So how much more would you be willing to spend on these?
Well, if it's double size, I've yet to see, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've yet to see Marvel or DC, just looking at Marvel or DC. I've yet to see them go, it's a double size issue. You know what that means? Times two the price.
Well, not quite, like, but there is an increase.
There is an increase, but I've never seen, like, this comic's going to be $11.99 because normally the comic is $4.99. Like, I haven't seen that.
I think there was one of the Spider-Man issues recently was like $8 or $9 maybe.
But wasn't that like a triple size issue? Like that was issue $400 or $500 or $700 or
something.
Yes,
but that's what I mean, right? So like if a regular issue is $3.99, right?
Yes.
If you get a triple issue, you're not paying $14.99.
Right? Like, yes, agree.
That's ridiculous. No one's going to pay that. But would you pay $11.99 for a single issue if it was like a triple sized issue?
Can I ask you a question about this question?
Oh, too many stipulations. But continue.
No, because this would affect me because you know I don't spend a lot of money on floppies.
Right.
Am I getting for whatever team this is? Am I getting what I would consider the A-list talent on this book for that issue?
Let's just say you're getting the regular creative team.
Okay, well then that's easy. Looking at like Justice League of America, a Brian Hitch written.
Hang on.
Huh?
You there?
Yep.
Okay, I lost you for a second.
All right, okay.
Go ahead.
I'll just repeat. I don't know how much you lost. A like Justice League of America, a Brian Hitch written issue. I'm not paying. I'm not even going to pay the whatever it is $2.99, $3.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But if all of a sudden, like Todd McFarlane is coming back for a milestone Spider-Man issue, I guess what? You could probably rope me into an $11.99 book. Because I also know he's not going to – this isn't a run that he's on. They're bringing in A-list, like Uber fanboy talent, somebody who would ring my bell and make me pay more. Because I would never, ever expect Todd McFarlane to be on a Spider-Man book ever again.
Okay, but you mean like interiors or just the cover?
No. I'm saying the whole entire kit and caboodle.
Okay.
A cover would never draw me to a book enough to buy it.
Yes.
Especially if it's an elevated price.
Yes.
But, you know, there are plenty of, like, cover artists that if they were doing interiors and those interiors are painted and it's, like, you know, twice the amount of pages because it's, you know, issue 100 of whatever, Bloodshot. You could probably draw me into that. Like, I would pay extra for that, because guess what? That's a milestone issue. That is an issue 84.
Sure. All right, but if it was, like, a triple-size issue and a regular issue is $3.99, you're not going to pay $14.99. Or like $14.97, whatever that comes out to.
Okay, then riddle me this, Batman. You get the triple-size issue on X-Men 500, let's say.
Sure.
And Claremont and Byrne came back for just that one issue.
Oh, my.
And you're not going to pay $12.99 for that issue?
All right, but that's not fair.
Well, it's just like McFarlane doing Spider-Man. It'd be like Wolfman and Perez, you know, they do Teen Titans again.
All right, fine. Let's just say it's whatever, Amazing Spider-Man, okay? And it's Dan Slott and John Domenico, okay? Let's just say they've been doing it for since issue one, okay? 24 issues. Now it's issue 25, okay? The whole time it's been $3.99, okay? Except issue one was $5.99 for some reason. But every other issue
was issue one.
Yeah, it's issue one. Every other issue was $3.99, okay, for 24 issues. Then you get to issue 25. It's going to be a triple-sized, oversized issue, okay? Same team. It's still going to be Slott and John Domenico. Okay, but it's triple sized. Are you going to pay $14.99 for it?
What is Marvel or the creatives team justification for that?
It doesn't matter. It's issue 25.
25 is not a large enough milestone to draw me in.
All right, fine. It's been 249 issues that Slott and Jen Domenico were doing.
Yes.
Every issue was $3.99, except for, let's just say, like, issue 100 and maybe whatever, something else, were $5.99. But now we get to 249. It's still at $3.99. We get to issue 250.
Mm-hmm.
Triple-sized issue. Spider-Man, the undefeatable Spider-Man number 250.
You know what could draw me in? Even though, I mean, I love Slott. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not Slott. Like... That's not a classic creative team to be like sold and sold. You know what I, like that is not a Warren Ellis coming up with like a Wildstorm book with like one of the classic artists that he worked with. But that creative team that you just named for issue 250, if all of a sudden it was Aunt May dies in this issue. Like, okay, I'll read that. You could sell me on that. And at this point, like, if they did Death of Captain America was double the cover price for the same amount of pages, I probably would have paid for that. Like, those are like important events that I'd be like, yes, I need to read.
Well,
that.
I mean, you should assume there's going to be an important event at issue 250.
You could assume, sure, but I don't know if I'm along for the ride, if I've been reading it since issue one and now it's 250 or whatever, then guess what? You're going to – just like if there was a double size issue and for Batman and they wanted you to pay twice as much, you would because you bought Batman all your life. Like, There's no discussion.
That's a good point. All right, so
but I'm saying we'll look at something on the newsstand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's put it this way. Like, let's say Rucka's Lazarus is coming to an end.
Yep.
And the last issue is a double size issue. No, triple size. Double size story with filler, like creative filler, the last third.
Mm-hmm.
But they also want $14.99 for the last issue.
Mm.
I would pay that.
Well,
because I know that's the last issue.
It's
and
the last
they
issue,
also
but,
gave me a lot of content.
But
there.
You can probably assume if it's the last issue and you're going to be willing to pay $14.99 for it, you've been reading it since issue one. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Like, all right, so maybe we should take a book that is not like that, right? So not Spider-Man for you, not Batman for me.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do... I don't know. Let's just do something that I like. That is not like, holy fuck, I have to have this. So let's do, what's that now? Let's just do, what just came out? Astonishing X-Men? I think they just relaunched, right?
How about Moon Knight?
No, we can't do that either.
Oh, that's an instant buy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm
thinking of like C-level characters.
Let's just do Defenders. How about that?
Sure.
Okay, good. So Defenders, because there is a Defenders book that just came out. It's by Brian Michael Bendis, and it's really fucking good.
Okay, good to know.
I'm reading it. It's only, like, I think two issues out, maybe? Three? I think it's just two. All right, let's say that's coming out. Okay, you like kind of Iron Fist, but you like Daredevil, for example, right?
So I like Iron Fist in the comic.
Sure, but like, you love Daredevil, for example.
For sure.
You're like okay with the rest of the characters. Let's just say that. And this just came out, Brian Michael Bendis. It's out 50 issues. Are you willing to pay $5.99? Probably. $6.99? $7.99? $8.99?
$9.99? $12.99? I think my price point where I would tap out, because you know, I mean, you started this conversation that I am a sale purchaser, a trade reader, and I'm reading a lot digitally, like Marvel Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to walk into a comic book store, since you got me suckered into the Valiant pre-order bundles.
Yep.
Now I'm in there once a month, and I'm looking, and I mean, I always hit you up, like, hey, what's good? I always want to try something just to, like, dip my toe into a floppy. And if I saw a Defender there, and it had Bendis, who I like, and it had an artist that I like. I like Defenders. I like street-level characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think the price point would probably be about $9.99 before tops, I finally right? just – yeah, before I tap out and I'm like, no, I would need it. I would need the interiors painted. I would need this to be a lot more of like a niche – holy crap type moment for me to be anywhere above $9.99 for me to even contemplate.
Would there ever be a point where you would pay more than that? And what I mean is, on a regular comic, so on a single issue,
okay, mm-hmm.
you buy mostly digital, you're doing unlimited now, that's awesome.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're not even doing unlimited. Let's say you're just reading digital. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's forget about some of the trades you read. What's your limit on a single, just regular issue? Okay. Now, this is digital only. Because, I mean, I've got a price for my digital only books. Mm-hmm. I've got a price for my physical only books.
Mm-hmm.
So we're throwing aside that you're a trade winner. What's your upper limit?
Is this a one shot or is this a monthly book?
This is a monthly book that you're reading.
Well, I hate to even say this, and I am a digital reader, but a digital comic book should not ever be the same price as a physical comic book.
Bingo. Okay.
Just so, like a digital game should not be the same price as a physical game.
So what's your upper limit?
On
a regular ongoing book that you're reading digitally.
$2.99.
I think that's fair. So I'm gonna give you
I would even go as high as $3.99, especially if it's one of those creators that, and I love that they do this, but I'm always pissed that they do this. And they do it especially with like Image titles, where the creator will give you panel breakdowns or like letters to the editor or columns, and you only get that if you buy the book. The physical book.
I'm totally with you.
And I love that they do that. To be honest with you, I love it. And it would be something like, guess what? That makes the physical book worth a buck more for that extra content that I'm never going to see unless I actually bought the physical ware.
So
that's on me.
We're like eye to eye again, Nick. Because let me tell you, for a digital-only book, I think $2.99 is more than fair for a recurring series. For a physical book, $3.99 I think is more than fair. Anything beyond that, like if your book suddenly becomes $4.99 every single month, I might consider dropping your book. And part of the reason for that is I read so many books. And I just tweeted about this a couple hours before we recorded this. I'm heavily considering cleaning up my pull list a lot. And yes, I do DCBS, so I get a lot for very cheap.
Can I ask you a question about?
Yes.
You wanting to trim back?
You can ask as many questions as you like.
I understand most comics are $5.99, $4.99, $3.99.
Sure.
The amount of comics that are available at $2.99 is slim pickings.
Slim pickings.
But you're not paying those cover prices.
I'm not.
You're going DCBS.
Mm-hmm.
That's giving you a pretty damn good discount.
It is.
So are you looking at that $5.99 book when they slash it in half and it essentially becomes a $2.99 book?
Well, so the reason I'm looking at slashing is not so much as how much I'm spending, but the quality of time that I'm spending enjoying these comics. Okay. So, for example, what I tweeted out was I'm reading 75 to 100 books a month, which is about average for every month.
Sure.
The majority of that is physical through DCBS. Some of that is digital only. Now, of course, as I've already said, I'm willing to spend a little bit less on digital only. I do prefer physical for many reasons, and some of this came up in our Nerd Legion Facebook chat earlier today, and that's why I'm bringing this up now.
Okay, because I missed that.
You did, and that's fine.
That is fine.
But I'm willing to spend a little bit more on physical because it's always going to be mine. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know everyone always makes a joke about me being Mr. Roboto, right? Because I do the programming and the websites, and I prefer not to have physical media. But at the same time, like I enjoy my comics way more than I enjoy other types of media. Okay.
Agreed.
So I do own movies digitally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own DVDs. My wife still does, and I make fun of her every day for them. partially because we don't have a working DVD player.
Oh, no.
Like, our DVD player quit working 6 months ago, and we're not buying one because we don't give a shit. It's just a lot easier to have things on Plex that we can stream.
Sure.
And so I prefer the digital on movies. That is even lower on TV shows. Like, I think I own... I could probably count the number of TV shows, full TV show seasons that I own with both hands.
Wow.
And even that's a stretch. Because I don't feel like there's enough quality TV show I would want to watch that's not available already in streaming somewhere else, right? So, like, the stuff that I would want to own, I want to own because I want to have to watch whenever I want to watch it. I think with TV, that becomes rarer than with movies.
Can I give you my little scenario regarding that?
Of course.
We, as you well know, cut the cable cord a long time ago.
Yes.
So whenever my wife wants a series, that a TV series that we can't grab from any streaming service, I'm always like, just get it. Who cares?
Sure.
And now I treat that like right now. She currently, like, she grabbed like one of those MTV challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And those aren't ever going to be rewatchers. Come on. You're throwing that money right down the tube.
Yes.
But for her, she wanted to watch it, and it was like $14. And it's like, guess what? We pee away $14 in the matter of like a day.
Sure.
So who the hell cares? And guess what? We're putting $100 back in our pocket every month for not having cable.
Yep.
So we're still at a winning position. Like my wife right now, she grabbed like the current season of Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes, could we get like the CBS app and just watch it that way? Sure. But all that garbage that comes with that app, it's like, just by the season, it's on 3 or 4 times a week, whatever it is, for a month or 2 months. And it's like, it's still under $20.
Well, yeah, and so that becomes a matter of how much is something worth to you, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, I wouldn't pay $15 or $20 for a season of Big Brother.
Right? No, of course not.
But to your wife, that's worth it.
Right? And it's still, I'm still saving tons of money by not having cable.
Sure. And I'll give you another example. So until yesterday, I had never seen, and I'm going to get some hate mail from Star Wars fans.
Ooh.
I had never seen Star Wars Rogue One until last night.
Okay.
Because Friday, it went live on Netflix.
Okay, good to know.
So you can watch Rogue One on Netflix. And I watched it. And I'm glad that it was on Netflix, a service I already pay money for.
Yeah. Because
after having seen it, if I had gone to the movies and paid $20, $30 to see it in theaters, I'll be perfectly honest, I would have been pretty pissed off. But having seen it pretty much for free, because I already pay $10.99 for Netflix.
That sounds right. Sure.
I'm perfectly okay with that being part of the money that I already paid Netflix, the streaming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But
you buying like the first season of Legion, or me buying Fargo,
mm-hmm.
a season of Fargo.
Sure.
I might watch Fargo again. So sure, could I justify owning that season of Fargo? Absolutely. At this point, I'm like, I don't even want that in my house. I don't want that physical media in my house. Like, even buying it through, like, iTunes, I just don't. No. There's a million and one things that are brand new for me, just like your Rogue One,
mm-hmm.
that I could watch on any of these streaming services. The only thing that trips me up currently is when I want to watch live sports.
Mm.
That's the only thing.
Yep.
But other than that, like, if I can get beyond that, I can always find something.
Well, and you know, and the other part of the problem is DRM, right? So if you buy on Apple TV, like, you're only going to watch it on Apple TV, right?
Absolutely. You're not taking that with you.
Right. If I buy it on Amazon Video, that's the only place I'll have it available.
And you know what also could happen? And I mean, to your point, bringing it back to floppies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what could happen, especially to me, somebody who I can look up right now. Actually, let me do that while I make my point, because I'm dying to know, to be honest with you. And this is the scary thing. Out of, like, including my flop, because I don't grab from Comixology. I don't grab a lot of their free stuff because I've already read most of it.
Sure.
I'm not one of those people that I need to have everything. But currently, I have, and this includes omnibuses, trades, as well as single issues. So don't look at this number like, that's all you have for single issues. No, there's omnibuses and trades in here as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I have over 2,800 digital files in Comixology. Sure. You know what could happen compared to your floppy buying?
Comixology goes away.
Or Amazon just says, you know what we're going to do? Not support Comixology anymore.
Dude,
and then all this stuff could just go bye-bye.
This came up tonight.
I know I could get this stuff DRM free. I get that. You know how many hoops I have to jump through to do that? I'm not going to do that.
No,
Come on.
Not necessarily, and it depends. Because outside of Marvel and DC, most of the comics that you get on Comixology are DRM free. Not all the Image books. Some have DRM on it, but some of them are DRM free. But really, like, every indie publisher usually is DRM free. So even if Comixology goes down, you still own it.
But my point is, just to your, like, Rogue One. Mm-hmm. Even if Amazon was advertising, we're removing Comixology. It's going bye-bye. Grab your comics now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your Rogue One, I didn't even know that was on Netflix.
Right. I didn't know that either.
If you're not paying attention, guess what? That deadline could come and go, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I never grabbed that stuff. Gone.
Well, and so that becomes a thing, right? So, like, people are perfectly happy spending $2.99, $3.99 on a digital copy, okay? But what happens if that changes? What happens if Amazon says, well, you would hope, they're like, well, if you're a Prime subscriber, you get Comixology for free. And then you'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm already a Prime subscriber. Okay, but let's say you're not.
Or will it go the other way, that all of a sudden Marvel has Marvel Unlimited? Why do they really need to be on Comixology?
Right.
I don't know. You don't think DC wants to do the same exact thing? Image, Dark Horse? Like, if more and more publishers left Comixology and tried to branch out by themselves, at some point, Amazon's going to be like, well, then why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. We're here for a business. Close this thing up.
Well, but they're not going to do that, because even though Marvel has Unlimited, they're still part of Comixology. Not just that, they're now part of Comixology Unlimited.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, yes, it's a very limited selection, but they are there. You can get Marvel books on Comixology Unlimited for $5.99 a month, so, you know, you got to think about that. You got to think, if Marvel is willing to do that, how well is Marvel Unlimited doing?
Comixology Unlimited?
$5.99 a month.
Okay, then riddle me this, Martino. You're a Prime member.
Yes.
They said, we'll give you Comixology Unlimited for an extra $2 a month added onto your Prime.
I'm down.
Same here.
Yeah, if they did that, I would do it. I don't want to pay the $5.99 because looking at their selection, to me, it's not worth $5.99.
Agreed. But okay. It's worth $2.
It's worth
$2. You'll find two comics a month to read.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I already had Apple Music, but then when I picked up the Echo and to get, you know, Amazon, you know, whatever, I was like, yeah, let's spend the extra money. Yeah.
Steal.
Right.
What was it? It's $2.99. Wait, that's what it is, right? $2.99 for one
right.
Echo?
Right.
Or you mm-hmm. can do $7.99 for unlimited devices?
Right.
That's already cheaper than Spotify and everything else.
Yep. And we guess what? We have three devices.
Right.
So that's a no-brainer. But, I mean, Comixology Unlimited, if they did that, or guess what? Like, the best thing that Comixology Unlimited, because they have to differentiate themselves. And guess what? Amazon's a big player, and they could flex muscle if they wanted to in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
And they could, and this is the thing that I wish Marvel Unlimited would do, but they could actually be like, you know what? You buy our service through Prime, so they're, you know, you're already hooked in. And even like people who aren't part of Prime, they would have to subscribe then to Prime to get this.
Mm-hmm.
But if they just said, you know, hey, and whatever comic books come out in that month, you can read five of them, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You could read five a month. It's like, okay, so you're going to give me the stuff that you already give me now, but now I can read five current comics a month? That, like, yes. Like, you could sell me on $5.99 a month if you're going to give me access to read, like, five of my favorite comic books a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, if somebody did that, if I was reading five current comic books, because I love hearing you guys' discussions, don't get me wrong. It just makes me salivate waiting for that trade. And that's what's exciting to me.
Right.
To hear, like, how much you're loving Mockingbird and how much you're loving this and that. Like, that gets me excited. But if I could read five comic books, you know what that would do? I would probably start buying more comic books, current comic books.
I'm totally with you. And I will say this. So when Amazon bought Twitch, right, I don't know if people know this, but you get a free subscription to anybody on Twitch.
Yep. Okay?
So normally it's, like $4.99 to subscribe to somebody per month. If you have Prime, you subscribe for free. One person for free. Now granted, you have to resubscribe every month, but you're saving $5. and the person that's creating the content is making $5 to subscribe.
For doing pretty much nothing.
For doing nothing.
Yep.
They could do that with comics, dude. They own Comixology. And there might be some kind of deal with the publishers where maybe they can't do that. And why the publishers don't want to do that, I understand, but at the same time, don't understand. Because why wouldn't you want the $5 for free? You know what I mean? Like, if Comixology Unlimited is $5.99, why can't you say for $1.99 or $2.99, add it to your Prime subscription, this is free to you? Because Amazon's already, like, putting money in for that. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're subsidizing that.
I get why publishers don't want to do that. But how long have we been sitting around waiting for the industry to change a little bit?
Well, and how long is that
going to last? And embrace it.
Yeah, how long is that going to last?
Because, absolutely.
So today, friend of the show, Aaron Bell, co-host of Rebirthically.
Mm-hmm.
He was complaining about how Young Justice is coming off of Netflix. I'm not sure when, but it's pretty soon. It's still there now, I know that. But it's coming off of Netflix. And he loves it. He's seen it many a time. So it's not like he's never seen it and he's going to miss out on it. But it's coming off of Netflix because DC is launching their own video streaming service next year. Right?
Right.
So, no more Young Justice. Probably no more pretty much everything DC, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no more Batman movies, no more... Like, Arrow and stuff will be there because they have a deal with CW. But, like, everything else will be gone and will only be available on DC's streaming service. Like, right now, HBO's got all the Batman stuff. They got all the Nolan stuff. They got the 89 Batman, like, everything. Everything's on there. Mm-hmm. Batman, Superman, that's all on there. When this DC service launches, that's not going to be on there. Like, the only way for you to get it is going to be on whatever the fuck. DC Flicks. You know what I mean? Like, how much will I be willing to pay for that? You know? Because that's extra. And not only is that extra, like, that's not something my family is going to exclusively go on to look for content. You see what I mean? Like,
nor do they really care.
Nor do they care. Like, that'll be a Martin thing.
Yep.
You see what I mean? So, like, will I even be able to get that? Is my wife going to be like, well, that's not in our budget?
Right.
And I'll be like, well, fuck you. Like, it's in our budget. But, like,
it's Batman.
But will that happen? You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
And, like, we might be a little different than other people, but, like, for how many other households is this going to happen? And how much are these people willing to spend? Because you got to think too. Like, at what point does this become like, well, fuck, I should just get cable?
Yeah.
Right.
All these services add up.
Exactly. So I'll just pay $40, $50 for cable. Okay, and I'll add the HBO for $9.99. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're paying $60 for cable again, as opposed to $9.99 for Netflix, $9.99 for Hulu, $9.99 for Showtime, $9.99 for HBO, $9.99 for Disney Channel, $9.99 for DC Unlimited. Like, goddamn.
Yeah, it all adds up.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
But you know what? I can't blame Warner Brothers for doing it. At least they're reading the tea leaves. And, like, everybody's streaming. Why wouldn't we want our... We have all of this content that's ours. Why wouldn't we want to be doing this? Just like HBO finally wised up and created their own little pocket.
Sure.
I mean, it's very smart. I can't blame anyone for doing that with their own content.
Well, yes. But you got to think, too, at the same time, like, at what point does it not become feasible for the majority of your fan base, right? You gotta think.
I would think that your fan base, if they really wanted it, they would figure out a way to be able to get it.
Well, but that's the problem, though, right? Because you and I might be able to say that. Like, I'll be more than happy to spend another $9.99 on it. But when you're already tight on your budget, Like, maybe it means you have to drop, you know, Justice League of America, which is a terrible book. But you need to drop it so you can afford to buy DC Unlimited on whatever the fuck, the streaming service.
Every time I hear about these cinching up of belts, it usually comes from a person that is paying $100 for cable. Like, there's so many services out there that people are like, I can't get rid of that. Well, it's like, no, you could.
Well, that's like the thing, I don't even know how much a cable subscription is, right? Like, I'm assuming $60, but I'm sure it's more than that.
But as soon as you start adding on all of the fees, the rental unit for the actual cable box, like, all this stuff, the taxes for it, the city, state, you know, all these all of a sudden, like, I mean, our cable was, I think, like, we got it locked in at $79, and then it seemed like where before, cable companies would, like, hit you up at the beginning of the year and start raising rates at the beginning of the year. Now, when we finally dropped it, we were looking at our cable bills, like, for about a year and, like, 3 months. Mm-hmm. And we noticed that every month the cable bill went up by, you know, like, 12 cents, 28 cents, $1.50, like every month, like clockwork, you just started to see the increments go up. So that's sort of, it's one of those things, like, that's where we just, like, we tapped out. We're like, no, we're done. We can always find some other entertainment. But see, I can't blame Warner Brothers for wanting to get the entire pie. Instead of just loaning out their content to streaming services and cable services.
Of course.
Just like CBS is doing with Star Trek. Like, well, I think that's the interesting thing to watch. Like, you can't get that any other way. You got to get the CBS app.
Well, and that's the killer app, right? Because Netflix does the same thing, right? Like, yes, they still have other people's content.
Yeah.
But they're spending a shit ton of money on their own original content that they're hoping people will pay the $7.99 or $9.99 or whatever it is to come back and watch every month.
And they're taking a big risk.
They
like,
are.
They're reading, I mean, they're reading tea leaves and just hoping that by even not even putting out the stuff on DVD and whatnot, which, you know, luckily they do for a lot of their shows.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, not all of their stuff is available unless you have the service.
Exactly. And yes, it's a big gamble, but there's also, you know,
huge rewards.
But I think for Netflix, even, it's still a little bit different. And they're fortunate enough that they can do the pivot because they've had a loyal subscriber base for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so if they're successful in pivoting that fan base, then yes, that chance will work out for them. But for other companies, that may not work out so well, right? Like, we've talked about some of the Hulu originals. Like, they've been pretty shitty, except for the Handmaid's Tale. Like, that was good. Well, 11/22/63 was pretty good, too.
And I like The Path.
And The Path was good. But at the same time,
But the majority of their stuff, I would even put Amazon.
Garbage.
Sort of in that boat as well.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
For every great Amazon, there are two or three clunkers.
And I mean, like, the only hit Amazon's had is Transparent, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, now they're coming out with The Tick, which is going to be good, hopefully.
Man in the High Castle got a lot of praise and a lot of critical
eyes. But it was a small niche audience.
But I hate to say it, like, all of those, when you name off Netflix shows, people have subscribed to Netflix for these shows. You don't hear too many people subscribing to Amazon for those shows.
No, that's
it's great when they're there and they get them and, like, oh my gosh, with my Prime, I get all these shows. Great. And then they discover them. But they're not drawn to, like, I got to get Amazon Prime because I need transparency.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. So, I mean, you do roll the dice and you're just hoping that you get a payoff.
Yep.
But Warner Brothers just banking on some of their previous content. That's why, like, when I was buying DVDs, when you saw like a Criterion DVD, holy cow, was that like, that is the Cadillac of like film quality. You're going to get a great like director talking over the film, like the best print available. They're going to restore it. You're going to have all of these extras. And then if anybody should be able to take their all their content and like create their own digital channel, I would have thought it would have been Criterion. And they just pretty much sold their catalog to Hulu.
Yep.
Which it was smart of Hulu to be like, hey, we can go after the film fanatics. And why they never ever stepped on the gas for that? And guess what? You look at some of these digital streaming services, there's plenty of them out there that are going after just the horror fan or just the foreign film fan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making money off of it, I'm sure. But for whatever reason, Hulu does not go after that. Like, there's a big market out there for, like, documentaries. I might have watched 3 documentaries on Hulu because they're never, ever presented well enough to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I fire up Hulu. But, like, Netflix, oh, my God, there's a documentary in front of my face every time I fire that thing up.
I agree.
It's strange. Very strange.
Agreed. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. I don't know, Nick.
But I think CBS is, that's going to be the one to watch.
You think so?
Because I brought up to my wife when we were debating on getting that season of Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why don't you just get the CBS app? It's right there. And it's whatever it is, $5.99 a month, $7.99 a month. And I'm like, it's pretty much the same price as if you just bought the thing through iTunes. But, you know, you get a lot more offered. And she absolutely was just like, no, it's all garbage. I just want this one show, and that's all I want. And I'm not, and I don't really want to investigate anything else that's on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
But will this? I mean, I hate to say it, like I'm sure all the hardcore Star Trek fans, they're going to be all over it.
Sure.
But the majority of just people that, you know, Star Trek is just sort of in their wheelhouse, it's on their radar a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the fans that will just look at that and be like, I'll wait for it to be on Netflix. Or if they don't even know that it will never be on Netflix, I'm sure that'll be on DVD. I'll just grab it that way.
Right.
So, I mean, I think this is a big experiment. It's a fun experiment, but I don't know if it's going to actually push CBS. The thing with CBS, like, my wife was even pushing me to get CBS for college football or professional football.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it out. I tried out the CBS app when it first came out or when it hit my radar last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch anything on the app except for all of the licensed sports. Like, I could get, like, college basketball or golf, but football? They're smart enough to be like, you know what? We can have our own app.
See, that's always a problem, though. And you know what? I don't think that helps. Because I've read some articles recently about ESPN losing a shit ton of money because a lot less people are willing to spend the money to add ESPN to their packages, or even pay for cable in order to subsidize ESPN. And ESPN
they took a bath.
A ton of money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they took, like, a bath, absolutely.
That's not smart. And I know what you mean about CBS, but, like, am I willing to spend $7.99 just to watch Star Trek Discovery? Probably not.
Yeah, agreed. Big Bang doesn't draw me into CBS. You know, like, every time I hear of a show that's on CBS, I, in my head, I'm always thinking, that'll be on Netflix in 3 years.
Exactly.
I don't need to watch that right now.
Well, and the thing becomes, well, what if it's no longer on Netflix, right? So we talked about the DC Unlimited thing, right? If Young Justice is no longer on Netflix, I'm willing to spend $7.99 for DC Unlimited to watch Young Justice? Probably not. You know what I mean? But like, if you're telling me like all the Nolan movies are all there, all the Batman Nolan movies, you tell me Batman Superman's on there, Man of Steel, Young Justice. I mean, what about the CW stuff? Is not going to be on there because that's DC.
What about the direct-to-video stuff?
What about the direct-to-video? Like, is it, like if the direct-to-video stuff was on there, that's probably worth the $9.99. You know what I mean?
You know what they could sell you on? Day one. Like, this is going to be like the Killing Joke. It was in theaters on whatever it was, Monday night.
Yep.
And then in stores on Tuesday.
I went to see it in theaters.
Same here. But like on iTunes and streaming like places, you could buy the digital copy. When was it? Monday?
Yep.
Like before it even hit stores. Well, guess what? If they want to do that DC Unlimited app for streaming, they have to make those like direct-to-videos. Like that's a day one. You don't even have to wait for like for it to hit stores. You're going to have that before the store.
Well, and
you'll get a crap ton of people signing up just for that.
But it has
just for those 3 times a year that those videos come out.
It has to be in advance and exclusive, because right now you can purchase almost every single TV show or movie digitally somewhere or other before the DVD or Blu-ray comes out. Okay, like I think like right now it's about 90% of everything that comes out you can buy digitally at least a month before the Blu-ray or DVD comes out. So right. So at that point, like if you're telling me, yes, you can go watch. Let's just do the Killing Joke. You know, there's a new one coming out. Harley Quinn and Batman's coming out. Okay, that's the next one. I can go watch Harley Quinn and Batman in IMAX for whatever. I'm spending $20 a ticket. Or if I'm a DC Unlimited subscriber, I can watch it in the comfort of my own home the same day as it comes out in theaters.
Yep.
And it's going to be available to purchase digitally or DVD a month later. But for that 1 month, and I don't think any more than a month would make sense, by the way. But just for 1 month, you can get it on the service. I'm okay with paying the $10 a month to get something like that a month early. You know what I mean? Because for the most part, I'm not going to buy them. I usually buy the ones that have Batman in them. But like some of the other ones, I'm not going to buy. Like I'll watch them over and over. You know what I mean? Like I might rent them a couple times, but I'm not going to buy them. So, I don't know.
I think that's the company standing up to the cable services for all these, because you know they make some money off the on-demand.
Oh, sure.
But they either have to stand up to them and be like, hey, we're putting it out at the same time, or you have to wait for these sweetheart contracts to run up, and then that's when DC says, hey, you used to have the exclusive for a month before the DVD came out. Mm-hmm. Well, we're putting it on our streaming service the same time. I mean, look at HBO. That's exactly – you think HBO just all of a sudden developed an app and it's like, here it is.
Right.
Or did they wait until their contract with all of these cable companies and, you know, satellite companies ran up and then they were like, nope, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I hate to say it, like you look at Game of Thrones or Walking Dead or House of Cards. All three of those are really the only water cooler type shows out there.
Yeah.
Like there really is no other water cooler show. So why do I need like the CBS app? Why?
Right.
Like I tell my wife all the time, like we can watch like the ABC app free on our Apple TV. And it's like we're watching something in the 90s because we can't skip through the ads. So we're physically locked into watching a complete 1 hour show. Mm-hmm. It's not a 48 minute show. It's an hour show because we're sitting through all the dumb ads.
Right.
But they have us locked in. Like, guess what? That's how you should be offering your content.
Well, you know,
then you could go to the advertisers and you could be like, yo, we have this many people because guess what? We can see streaming numbers. We have this many people streaming, and they're locked into watching your commercial compared to a cable company that has it on our DVR, and they can fast forward through the commercial.
So the CW app is completely free.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do watch CW because I watch Arrow and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow every fucking new episode that comes out. Okay?
Yes.
I don't care if you hate the shows. Fuck you, you're wrong. I love them. And the app is free, so I'm not paying you anything. There's ads.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like one, maybe two ads every couple minutes. Like, I'm all right with that. You know what I mean?
Same here.
Like, what's wrong with... Like, everyone... So here's the thing, right? People don't realize everyone needs to make fucking money. You know what I mean?
I realize. Like, I realize that.
Nothing's free. Like, this podcast, I mean, sponsored by DuckDuckGo, 3 cents per person that we send over there, you know what I mean? Like, that's not paying for this podcast.
No.
I mean, you could go buy some shirts. There are shirts and hoodies and mugs. You can go to nerdlegion.com. Oh, no, it's nerdlegion.threadless.com. Nick, you know, you bought Threadless stuff before. Quality products.
Quality.
Quality. Okay.
From a U.S.-based company.
U.S.-based company. Made in America. Let's make America great again.
Amen.
Okay? You know how you make America great again? You support the Nerdy Legion Network. That's how you do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this shit ain't free. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it might be free to some of the hosts, right? Like, Nick's not paying for this network. Paul's not paying for the network. Aaron's not paying for this network. Guess what? It's coming out of my pocket. Do I whine about it? No, because I love doing this fucking show and this motherfucking network. But you know what? Go buy some goddamn t-shirts.
I don't like it.
America. That's all I gotta say. Anyways, CW doesn't make any money on their app. You know what I mean? Like, it's free.
No.
You got ads. You know what? I'm okay with watching an ad because I'm watching the fucking show for free.
Right. That's how they should be doing it. That's how every channel, not every channel, but all of the major channels, that's what they should be doing.
Well, they should, and I think they do. But you know what the problem is? Nobody wants to fucking pay for anything, Nick.
I know.
That's
it's
the problem.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Like, what sense does that make?
Yep.
Are you
But don't you feel
me?
Don't you feel like you went back in time, though? Like,
oh,
now,
God damn,
sitting sitting through an ad... I never used to, but I also paid $15 a month to have a DVR.
Dude, on Hulu, I pay the extra, I think it's like $2 extra.
Sure.
Maybe $3 to do the ad-free.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Like, it's ad-free. I'm still fucking paying for it because I'm paying to not have ads. You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, that's the same thing. I choose not to have ads, and that extra money that I pay is going to this company so they can provide me with this free motherfucking service that's technically not free because I'm paying for it. But you know what? Like, it's there. Like, I'm okay paying for your content because I feel like it's quality enough where I can get your content. And I'm more than happy to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Yeah. Like, what? Why? Look. Nobody call McCarthy or anything, but look, I've been kind of a socialist my whole life, okay? Like, I'm okay with the free shit. You see what I mean?
The Red Scare.
Yeah. I'm a commie, as the uninformed would say. But you know what? Like, even for commies, bro. Like, the shit ain't free. You see what I mean? Like, why are people so adverse to paying for stuff? Like, do they not feel like it's worth their fucking money? Like, if you listen to the show, Nick, this show guaranteed minimum 2 hours every single week. Chances are a lot longer than that. Okay? So if I were to say, Nick, from now on, you can only get the show if you pay us let's just say $1 per episode. We're not doing this, okay? But let's just say. Are you telling me if you've been listening for how many episodes have we done, Nick? 100 and something. Let's just say 100. Are you telling me if you've been listening to this podcast for 100 episodes, this podcast is not worth a motherfucking dollar to you? That's some bullshit. And it should be the same thing with these shows. I mean, the fucking shows cost how much money to make, Nick? Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands? Millions of dollars? You see what I mean?
For sure.
Like, we're not spending $1 million to do this episode. I mean, yes, it might seem like it to some people.
We are. Because you heard the production?
The high quality of production of this podcast. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
For sure.
We spend at least $1 million per episode. But we don't ask for $1 million back, right?
No.
We ask
goodness of our heart.
We ask you to give back whatever you feel like giving back. And you know what? Right now, that's nothing.
Yeah.
We're okay with that.
That's all right.
But these fucking channels, bro, they gotta make money. You know, it's like comics. How are you gonna keep getting your comics if you're not motherfucking buying your comics?
Yeah, I had somebody offer me their Comixology login credentials so I could read a comic book.
I mean, like, that might be okay for once in a while, right?
Sure.
So I get a bunch of digital comics for free from publishers.
Mm-hmm.
I've offered them to you before. You don't mm-hmm. want them because you want to pay for them, and I think that's very noble.
Yeah.
Right? Because even though these are being offered for the express purpose of, let's just say, being shared, because to be honest, like, when they're shared with a group of people that will, you know, somebody will pick that to write a review, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, it's not like we're technically pirating. Like, this is being offered to several people who want to read it. And when you're offered, you don't want to read it because you feel like you should purchase whatever you want to read. And I feel like that's a very noble achievement. And I feel the same way because a lot of times I will be offered books that I will refuse to read until I buy them. For example, the Aftershock books we get for free.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I get sent the review copies, I don't read them until the books come out that Wednesday. Right?
So
yes, it might mess up recording the Aftershock Central podcast because we might have to wait an extra day or two.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not doing this to get free shit. I'm doing this to talk about stuff that I enjoyed talking about. And one of those things is Aftershock, and I'm going to buy the comics regardless.
Well, and they're also sending you codes so that you guys will have something to talk about and review and,
sure,
you know, comment on. Obviously, they're proud of their product, and they just want more people to, you know, to put it in their eyeballs. Mm. So I can't blame you for getting – there's plenty of stuff you should pay for. There's also plenty of stuff you don't need to pay for. You could put your dollar somewhere else.
Absolutely right. Well, and so here's the thing, too. Like, if I'm going to review a comic, I don't want anyone to ever say, well, Martin gave that comic a 5 out of 5 because he got it for free from Aftershock or
right.
Valiant or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean?
Payola scandal.
Like, there's no payola here, bro. If I'm going to talk about something, I will tell you straight up if I like it or don't like it. Okay.
Right.
This includes Tom King's Batman, by the way, Daryl Taylor. So quit bringing this shit up, too. Okay. Hmm. Even if DC gave me free copies, guess what? I'm not fucking talking about it.
But also, if you were railing against something through, you know, that Aftershock puts out.
Sure.
And Aftershock all of a sudden said, stop sending those dum-dums codes. That's their prerogative. They could do that.
Oh, sure.
But do I blame you for not spending a penny because they're sending you digital codes? No.
Well, and guess what?
But as long as that is an understanding between you and Aftershock that I'm going to review this yay or nay, and if you guys put out something crappy, I'm going to review it just like that. And, you know, keep your digital codes. I don't care. Like, who cared? Like, I am not doing what I'm doing as a soapbox thing. I don't review comic books. Believe me, if Aftershock wanted to send me all of their comics, I might start talking about them. Absolutely. But will I be talking about the positive as well as the negative? Sure. Until Aftershock or another publisher is actually paying us to be a sponsor, then guess what? We might tone down the negative aspects and highlight the positive aspect. Because
nope.
Guess what? They're a paid sponsor.
Nope, disagree.
Oh, no. I'm all for that. I have no problem with that.
I feel like even if a comic book publisher decided to sponsor this podcast, if I felt like the product was not up to par, either A, I would not accept the sponsorship because I would not believe in the product, or B, I would still speak about the product honestly. Because I think regardless of whatever happens, if we ever actually quit pretending to have sponsors on this podcast, which I love our pretend sponsors. Matter of fact, they're my favorite. But I feel like if we ever had actual sponsors that we genuinely talked about and decided that we really believed in, to sponsor the show, I feel like we really should believe in them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And if they offered us a product that was bullshit, then I would still say, this product's bullshit, but thanks for sponsoring.
But I think you misread me. I said I would highlight a positive instead of highlighting a negative.
I would still highlight a positive. But I would not shy away from a negative.
I can look at, like, your least favorite Valiant comic, and I can find something positive in that series or issue.
Mm-hmm.
I might not talk about 90% of it because 90% of it's crap, but you know me. I have, like, unicorns and rainbows.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's not everything that's being put out is something that I am completely 100% behind.
Sure.
But guess what? If somebody is like putting money out there and they're like, look, I know this is a load of crap. Just if you don't mind, don't highlight this part. It's like, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have no, just like you guys getting digital codes. I mean, I hate to say it, to go back to your previous point, digital codes, like, these aren't unique codes. Like, that's one file that millions and thousands of people get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why that should not be $3.99 or $4.99 or $5.99. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be the same price.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Aftershock sending you, Ronnie, Aaron, whoever, Jack, digital codes? I'm not looking at that like they're paying you off. They just want you to read the entire line of comic books so you guys can have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys feel like you have to go and buy cover B of, you know, Black Eyed Kids, well then go ahead. But I'm sure Aftershock's like, we don't care if you buy it or not. I mean, it's great that you want to buy it,
mm-hmm.
but we would like you guys to talk about it over buying it.
Well, and you and I have talked about this before for other publishers who were like, well, if this is how you feel, then we're going to take your digital copies away. And my response was, well, fuck you, then take them away because I don't give two shits.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly how it should be. Because no one, unless they're paying you, and even if they're paying you, there's got to be like an understanding as well as something written up in a contract saying, we don't want you to talk about this. We want you to treat the product like this, blah, 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 blah. But like, there can't be an unwritten understanding of like, well, since we are giving you these digital copies, you best not talk bad about us, period, or we'll send the law after. You know, it's like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
So what you're saying is we shouldn't do what Bleeding Cool or Comic Book Resources or those kind of websites do. Oh, wait. I didn't mean to call him up by name. we'll just call them Cleeting Bull and Rusanama and Bamek Cook Resources. There you go. Is that bad?
I don't think any of those writers for those sites should have to pay for any of their content.
Well, and then the funny thing too is then you have like other smaller websites for people that are generally fans, right, that get those comics, and they don't get fucking paid for any of the shit, right? Like, they're just doing because they want to get the free comics.
Yeah.
You guys are a bunch of assholes.
Like, it's good for people to disclose stuff like this. Like, my wife and I will sit and watch, like, unboxing videos here and there.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, oh, my God, this person buys, like, 25 boxes a month. How can they afford all this stuff? You know, like loot crate and stuff. And I'm like, do you really think they buy all of these boxes? Mm-hmm. No way in hell. Mm-hmm. Look how many subscribers they have. There's no way. They might pay for 3 out of the 25. But you know what? They never ever disclose like, oh, this was a sponsored one. Oh, this was like, that's the shady part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody told me, like, oh, they're a sponsor, then at least I can take their opinion on said video game or comic with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a reviewer from one of those websites that you named, like, I would hope that they would get the product to review. I mean, that's like asking a person who reviews cars to buy every car that they're going to review. Mm-hmm. That can't be done. Come on. Just to give it.
See, Nick, that's why we will always have listeners, but we'll never be rich off of this podcast.
Yeah. The bad thing is you're always in the hole every year for...
Oh, all right, you there?
Yep.
It's fucking my... I think my little headphone jack is messed up.
Uh-oh.
It keeps acting up on me.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are you working tomorrow?
I am.
Jesus, I think this is the latest we've ever talked on a Sunday.
Holy shit, we've been talking for 2.5 hours?
And we started late, dude.
God damn.
I know.
This podcast is the best.
While you were gone, while you took a little hiatus, I'm guessing to go to the bathroom, I already went through Comixology sales, but now that I have Marvel Unlimited, those Marvel sales on Monday don't really ring that bell like they used to.
Is there anything good on Comixology right now that I should be buying?
The sales?
Yeah, just whatever.
Or just in general?
Sales.
They have a Cosmic Cube sale going on. If you were into that.
Nope.
But I have Marvel Unlimited, so I'm guessing all of that stuff is probably on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
So
I'll skip all that. So nothing good this week. That's a shame. Shame on your Comixology.
At least for Monday.
So I wanna update. Oh my god. Wow. I wanna update. I was gonna read a bunch of comics today because I was off today.
Ooh.
And I read nothing.
No.
I read nothing. I watched Wonder Woman, and I hung out with the kids and played some games, and that's about it. So, but as I told Nick, I did start reading Spider Island, and I like what I read so far. I'm only like 2 issues in, so I can't really say.
It's fun.
But yeah, it's fun. Dude, you know what? Like, I love all the Spidey events. I don't care what anybody says about Dan Slott or anybody else. Like, fuck you guys. This shit's fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. People want to rail against whatever. I can't buy into it. Slot just writes some fun stuff.
Yep, agreed. Also, I Am Gotham came back. Finally, episode 6 came out.
I listened to it.
So the reason I say holy shit is I just signed on to our podcast host. Because I'm about to post a new episode of something, And holy shit, 10,000 downloads for the last episode of I Got Them? Well, fuck!
I've been telling you, people have been waiting.
So, yeah, so there's going to be a new episode of I Am Gotham out tomorrow. As we record this, by the time this comes out, it'll be like yesterday or 2 days ago.
Is it hard for, with I Am Gotham, is it hard to navigate the PC world that we live in now and talk about some of those issues?
Well, yeah, did you notice that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I found it excellent.
It is hard, you know, because like,
yeah,
you got to remember, like, a lot of people don't think the way that I do, right? So one of the issues that I read in Detective, like, there's some pretty blatant racism against Chinese people.
Yep.
But like, as I'm reading it, I don't read it that way because I understand the time that this was happening. And I understand the language that it's spoken in, right? But for people that like have no idea, if they were to pick that issue of Detective up, they'd be like, "Well, fuck this shit! Like, I'm not reading this ever again." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's blatant.
Oh God,
It's very blatant. So you just gotta think about the time that you're reading a certain book, right?
For sure.
Like, we've got modern sensibilities, but like you cannot judge a book from 75, 80 years ago way that you would judge a book that's written now.
I can't even judge the books that were written in the 70s and 80s.
Sure.
Or even 90s. Oof.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, and that's not even that long ago.
No, not at all.
So when you read these old books, you gotta just kind of have an open mind. And I think that's like you know, for example, that I've just been really like digging into Golden Age shit.
Yeah,
just a lot of different things, and I'll talk about that at some point. I just feel like, as much as I want to talk about some of that stuff, I feel like genuinely it will bore some people. Because I don't think a lot of people will be interested in it. Because it's so niche. It's like, you know, like when I talk about anthology books. So like I've wanted to talk about these Tales from the Crypt books that I've been reading.
Oh, I'm dying for you too.
And I know you are, but like I'm I don't want people to tune out when I start doing that. Because I don't know, Nick, like, anthology books don't do well. However, I will say this. When I record this podcast with you, my friend Nick, this is psychotherapy for me.
Oh boy!
So 99% of the time, I really could give two shits what people think about what I record in this podcast. Some of the other shows, maybe I might care a little bit, but this particular one, I usually don't give a shit. So I probably will. I'm almost done with volume 4 of Tales from the Crypt. I was hoping to be done today, but I'm not. So when I'm done with that, I might start talking about it. I don't know yet. I've got some other things.
Can I propose something? Because I didn't know where you were going to talk Tales from the Crypt.
Yes.
And I was hoping it was going to be Nerdy Legion, but if it isn't, it isn't. You know, we're here talking about stuff we want to talk about. So I want you to talk about this. I don't care who's going to be zoned out and who's going to turn off. That doesn't interest me at all. I don't care about the number of downloads. I could care less.
Mm-hmm.
You might be different. That's fine. But maybe we could, if you wanted to do it on Nerdy Legion, maybe the Tales from the Crypt, whenever you feel up for it, we don't even have to do it just all in one episode. But however we want to break this up, maybe we sock them away and then release them before Halloween.
Ooh, that could be interesting, yeah. Well, because
then we could sock away, like, even if we did two or three, we could sock them away and all of a sudden those could be bonus issues, you know, 3 weeks before Halloween.
Well, so the thing is, so I'm doing the Tales from the Crypt stuff now, but I do have some of the crime suspense stories that EC Archives did. I have some. What's it called? I think it might just be called Science and Fantasy, where they're like, you know, like 50s and 60s, like typical sci-fi stories.
Yes.
I've got a couple other ones because they had like a few different horror series.
Those are fun.
I want to do like so maybe what I should do really, Nick, is quit reading Tales from the Crypt, which I love. It's so much fun.
I bet.
And just like go to the different books. And
the different
maybe, like,
genres.
Yeah, different genres. And maybe like read one of each, and then I could talk about what I've been reading. Because, God, it's so fascinating. Like, I don't know. Here's what you should do.
Did you buy any of the romance ones?
I have one of the romance ones.
Because I would love a modern perspective on those.
Yeah, I have one of the romance ones.
Oh.
And I will say this. Apparently, Jack Kirby did a lot of romance books back in the day.
That's so good.
I haven't read those, but I want to read them. So romance would not at all be my genre. But just the fact that Jack Kirby would write romance stories, and I think that was when he was at Marvel. But just the fact that he would do that has me very intrigued. So I might do that. And I will say this, I will preface with this, is that, I do have some Fourth World that I purchased, that I will be reading not immediately, but fairly soon. Cause there's a lot that I want to get to beforehand, but we might have an all Jack Kirby episode, fairly soon.
I would love that.
Yeah. That might happen.
I need you to fill my ear holes with knowledge.
Yeah, that might happen.
Because anyway. I've only read Capes and Cowls for Kirby, so
that's pretty much what I've read. Also, so
yeah, I would love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
And just like we have Nerdy Legion After Dark, I mean, we could be doing, you know, EC Collection 1, and then, you know, you just talk about it for however long. Even if we broke it out and, like, that was 28 minutes, and then we go on with our normal Sunday chit-chat.
Yeah, that might happen. Well, the thing is, like, I know that you're going to be interested in it, but, like, I don't want to come on this podcast and just talk on my own. You see what I mean? Like, what I like about this show is that we have a genuine conversation.
Okay.
So I don't want.
Well, you know me. I can easily bring the. I'll be inquisitive. Let's put it that way. It will still be a back and forth. This will not be a monologue. You'll not be doing your I am Gotham here, sir.
Yeah. I hear you.
But God, I would love it. I just want to hear about them. And I'm eagerly awaiting for when they actually have one of those sales again for those.
Oh yeah, you got to pick them up when they do. Yeah,
I want the Western and the war. For whatever reason, I'm really interested in the Western, the war, and the romance ones.
I don't have any of the Western stuff.
I don't know why. I just am.
Well, I know why I don't. Because I like the horror stuff, so that's mostly what I purchased. That's interesting, though. I might check some of that stuff out. I don't know. We'll see. I will tell you this.
I think it's Paul Miatti who got me into that through Jonah Hex.
God, like, Jonah Hex is good.
Yeah, that sort of inspired me. Like, all of these just one-issue, you know, one-and-dones. It just inspired me, like, I want to read more of these. And in the 60s, they were actually, you know, 50s, 60s, they were doing them real good.
We should do a Jonah Hex book club.
I would reread that. Sign me up. Did we hit your points that you wanted to talk about regarding paying?
You know what?
What would you pay for your cover?
There's so many more. There's
okay.
So many more, but I'm done for tonight, dude. This has been a 2.5 hour discussion, and to be frank on this particular topic, I feel like I can go at least another 2 hours. I've had a topic that I wanted to talk about for a couple weeks that I feel would go another couple hours. So you know what? I'm just not going to do either of them. It's just not going to happen.
Put that topic in the Google Doc. We'll talk about it later.
I'll put it in the Google Docs. Everyone should go pick up some EC Archives. I don't care what you pick. They've got so many genres. Just pick one and read them. They're really fucking fun.
They're dated in the very best way.
They are dated, but you know what? Like, they're still relevant.
Yeah. The storytelling alone and the visual storytelling.
Yep.
Yeah. It can't be beat.
Anyway, I get mine on Amazon. All the hardcovers are roughly $30. How many stories are in it? I don't fucking know. Way more than $30 worth. How about that?
The page count's really good.
Yeah, the page count's pretty good, but you know, it's a hardcover, so it's a little oversized.
The quality of the like binding and the printing's really nice.
And think about this: like, if you were to go find books from EC Comics. Like, you're not going to find, like, whatever... What most of these trades, I think, are, like, I don't know, let's just say 5 to 8 issues, okay, for each hardcover. Mm. You're not going to find these books in floppies for $30 for 5 to 10 issues.
No.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, these are fun. These are fun. If you're a Tales from the Crypt fan TV show, you're going to... Oh, God. Just fucking buy these. I promise you. They're so good. Like, and if you go on Amazon, they're all rated like 5 stars. And yes, like, these are probably all me giving them 5 stars. But.
Respect the ratings.
They're really fun. Anyway, we're done. We're out of here.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wait. No outro.
What? Oh. Okay.
This has been the Nerd Religion Podcast. He's at Nick Wetmore, and I'm at Keek Fine. We're at Nerd Legion. We're done. NerdLegion.com. NerdLegion.gmail.com. iTunes reviews. We're done.